This week, Rocket League Season 3 finally comes to an end, and while the championship series continues until one team is crowned, the rest of us get to start ranking all over again. Enjoy your new wheels. There's plenty more to discuss, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with the 680th episode of our show for this March 19th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, here with you in studio with my co-host. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. And is that what she wrote? Is that the murder she wrote?
I don't know.
Or as RuPaul says, which, you know, I don't talk a lot about the other podcasts I listen to on this show, but I had a five-hour car ride today, which I'll get into later. So I listened to a bunch of RuPaul's What's the Tea, because that could be a fun show. I like that show, not just because it's RuPaul, and I'm sure you all like, you know, oh, Rob likes Drag Race. But
congrats to RuPaul's marriage, by the way.
Thank you, Techmaster Loki, who butted in the conversation. But hi, Techmaster Loki, as well. Yes, congrats to Ru, who I think may have got married right around the same time I did. So, Hey, how about that?
Yeah, Mama Ru.
But what I wanted to say about that is she was talking on the show today about Murder, She Wrote, but she calls it this. She said, Murder, She Done Sat Down and Wrote. So now I can't, and like in Ru, you know, in that RuPaul voice. Mm-hmm. So now I can't. Like, I can't get that out of my head. Like, I'm worried halfway through tonight's show I might be like, Dark Sakura, let's talk about Squarespace. The ads on some of these podcasts are pretty shameless. But I understand. There's bills to pay.
Well, Tech2030 in the chat room said I should bring back Sup Bitches.
And hello to the chat. Everybody's getting introduced early tonight. Hi, chatters.
Sup Bitches.
And if you want Dark Soccer to call you a bitch, you can join our live chat room over at live.vognetwork.com.
I'll call anyone a bitch for free.
Where we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Dark Soccer, by the way, I'm going to embarrass her a little bit on the show, but I just want to give a very big thank you for kitty sitting.
Oh, yes.
Over the weekend.
I petted your pussy.
Because I... You did, and you took pictures.
I took pictures of it, too.
Without her consent. But so Alan and I took a little road trip out of town this weekend. Did what we call an emergency trip to Disneyland and Universal. Mm-hmm. So those of you that listen to OLR a long, long time know that Dark Soccer and I love Disneyland. Well, Loki has to love Disneyland at least a little bit. Not on the same crazed level that Dark Soccer and I are at, but Loki.
He has kids. He probably hates it now.
Did kids ruin Disneyland?
They do ruin everything, so I mean, I guess that makes sense. But no, I haven't taken them to Disneyland yet.
Okay. And you know what? That's fine. I know a lot of newer parents that are like, oh, I've got to take the kids to Disneyland when they're two or when they're three. I'm like, don't bother. They're not going to remember until they're like six or seven.
No. But it's free before they're five.
I thought it was only like three. I thought it was
five.
Disney wants that money. There ain't no Squarespace paying Disney bills.
Becky waited to take Julian until he was about to turn five.
Okay. Well, that, all right. If you're doing it to get around the entry fee, then that I get. But yeah, I just, you know, don't pay for the kid if they're too young to have the memories. That's all I'm saying. Because I apparently went to Disneyland when I was four, but I don't remember it at all. But I went to Disneyland when I was eight, and I remember a lot more of that. So anyway, where were we? Dark Sakura, kitty sitting. So Dark Sakura sat for the cat, and it's not exactly, we don't exactly live around the corner either. So Dark Sakura really had to take like a 20-minute trip out here to feed the cat a couple times, which, you know, Alan and I do appreciate. So thank you very much.
I had to bribe her.
Well, you got video and stuff, and you were putting it all over Facebook.
Did it once on Facebook, but
still.
But I sent the other one to you guys. But I had to bribe her out of your underwear, or someone's underwear.
Wait a minute.
She was literally sitting.
Wait a minute. I don't know. Hold on. What just came? What just? What?
When
talk about murder, she sat down and she wrote. What kind of revelation just came up in episode 680 of the show? The Dark Sakura was fucking digging through our underwear when we were home.
No, I wasn't. She was it was more that she was sitting on like a pair of pants.
Uh-huh.
And she was sitting inside the pants like she was about to put them on her legs and go to work.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, Sanrio. And then I heard
She does that, though. She cuddles up against, so like a lot of married couples, the mister and I have a dirty laundry monster in our bedroom, especially, you know, right before a trip or something like that. So it's something about cats. I think a lot of cats do this. They like to find the owner's dirty laundry and snuggle up mm-hmm. against it. And she does that a lot.
So she was sitting in the middle of pants like she was going to wear them. And so I bring out the bowl. Shake, 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 shake. Katie. Shake, 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 shake. Mm-hmm. And then I hear. Just a little noise.
She's probably hungry.
And so I go in the hall and I put down a piece and she's like looking like,
yeah,
what do I do? I don't, you're a different human.
She's super shy around people. She doesn't know. And even though she ought to know Jamie by now, but she doesn't.
Food one.
Yeah. Food one.
Food one. So I lured her into where the rest of her food was and she's like, nom, 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 and let me touch her.
Nice. Well, congrats.
So I petted the pussy.
Well, thank you very much. It's You're much welcome. Appreciated. You know, Alan and I'll return the favor sometime. So you got to get to. Have you been to Universal in the past couple of years?
No.
Okay.
I've never been.
Okay. Now here's the thing. I do think overall Disney is more to do than Universal, but girl, Harry Potter.
I know.
That ride kicked ass. Like what? I was really blown away by that ride. That was amazing. So
I watched the making of it.
Do that. Do that for real. And just to answer in chat over at live.fognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, did you try Butterbeer Sky? Of course I fucking did. I don't drive all the way to Universal Studios and not have Butterbeer. Yes, I had it. And it was really like, I almost want to get in the car and go back, just have more. But I think all it really is a cream soda icy with like melted whipped cream on top. And by the way, Alan is showing off his new Stein that he paid like fucking 30 mm-hmm. bucks for at the park. Cause it's hello theme
Where's
park.
Where's my Slytherin one?
We'll have to go back.
I have to go back.
Anyway.
Now that I have officially been resorted again.
Resorted again. Well,
on Pottermore.
You definitely, you know, Alan and I will cat sit. You and Mr. Dan need to go plan a trip to Universal and do the.
We have money and time.
You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. All right. Look, we got to get to video games, but I do want to say hello to Techmaster Loki. And how are you?
Fine.
Good. And by the way, folks, Techmaster Loki producing tonight's show since I had the road trip home. I thought tonight was going to be a Wing It show.
We could have done that too.
But Loki saved the day. No, I mean, I a little structure is good. Like, the show's not scripted, people. We don't, obviously, that's the fun of live radio, but we'd like to have a little structure or else this would just be it would be a complete clusterfuck of a podcast as opposed to the kind of clusterfuck of a podcast that it is.
Yeah.
So, appreciate it. So, if you don't like something we talk about tonight, blame Loki this time. No, just teasing. But everything else going well this week? Our programming, is that still a thing that you've been working on?
I took a break on Friday just because I'd been going at, you know, doing it solid for the last few weeks. So I took a break from it. But the thing I was programming, which is basically a demo for a presentation we were doing, that came out all right, I guess, for what it was. It's, you know, it's a prototype. So, it was neat.
All right.
And they liked it because, you know, it's fancy compared to some of the other prototypes we made.
All right. Well, I'm excited to try something that you create if you ever get something that's a public release.
Well, I don't know how much I'm going to work on that one because that's more of like it's a prototype for something that another team may eventually decide to develop. I still may develop it later on. I don't know how interested anyone would be to try it, but it's different, I guess. But I actually do want to work, now that I've done that, I want to work on my own stuff, so I may go back to that.
All right.
Although I've been playing Skyrim and stuff, so you know that does eat into.
We were talking about this before the show because over on Mr. Bobby Blackwolf's show tonight, he was, I don't know if his chat room was teasing him or just pointing out the fact that he has not progressed as far in Zelda as some other people have, but you know, everybody does what they can do with the time they have the game. People.
Dan fell asleep playing it.
Yeah, it's just you do what you can do. And I'm probably not much further than he is. But Loki, I said, well, Loki, how far did you get into it? And he said, what you said, I played a little bit and then I went back to Skyrim.
Yeah, a couple hours and then I went back to Skyrim.
So at least Bobby's probably further along than you are because of that.
I'm in this playthrough of Skyrim, I'm 80 hours in. So.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyway, let's see.
I'd have my kids play, but I don't think they have multiple save slots in that game, do they?
In Zelda?
Zelda.
I don't think they do. I think you're right.
Yeah, so that was the only thing. It's like my son.
No, they do. They do, but there's just a ton of auto. I take that back. There's just a ton of auto saves in there. That's why I'm like, because I remember the first time I played
it. He wanted to play it, but he can't read stuff, and he's going to screw up my save if I let him do it. So, like, if I just let him run around and, like, set fire to things, you know, I don't know. I may let him do that next week.
All right. We're going to get into video game news stuff this week with you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Talk about our gaming weeks as well in a moment, but I want to get into tonight's kickoff topic, which is kind of a big one. It's a controversial one, but it's one that's been talked a lot about on social media this week. So I want to get your take here in studio from my co-host, and then I want to get the take out there online as well in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. And it has to do with reviews. So y'all probably already know where I'm going with this. That's the one word I have to say, and y'all know where I'm going with this. And we talk about reviews oftentimes here on OLR, but I'm curious for you guys, how much do reviews ultimately really matter to you? And the reason why I bring this up, of course, is the hubbub blue about Jim Sterling's review. And he's a, you know, he's a popular guy online. He has his fans and so forth. He dared OMG to give Breath of the Wild a mere 7 out of 10. And in, you know, true Twitter fashion, has been cyberbullied because of it, essentially, because I believe his score ultimately lowered the Metacritic score of Zelda by 1 point. And the Metacritic is another whole little fucking thing we can get into. But Zelda went down from a 98 to a 97, although to go for it to have been a 98 in the first place, somebody else gave it lower than 10 out of 10, right? So, anyway, he gave it a lower score, and what were the reasons he cited? He talked about the durability system.
The durability system.
To be fair, annoys me too.
Honestly, like, all of his critiques were basically what I share with that. I mean, they were just, the durability system is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know what the purpose of it being in here is, other than they want you to try the other weapons, maybe, or they're just trying to lengthen the I don't know what the point of it is.
But it's interesting because I feel like, and this is also, I think, a difference between you and me, is that, like, I recognize those things and I say, yes, they're negative, but was my overall experience affected by it? No, I probably would still rate this game very highly. I don't think I've played enough with it to settle on a final score of probably what would be either ultimately a 9 or 10, but I still feel like I would not have maybe been as negative, but Jim Sterling has a right to use whatever criteria he wants, and a 7 out of 10 isn't exactly bad. Dark Soccer, I know you're trying
to
jump in.
Ask all of these people, what does
these people being?
Everyone who's been getting fussy at this guy.
Okay.
Why the fuck do you care about someone else's opinion if it doesn't match your own? End of story. That's it. That goes to religion. It goes to fucking politics. Why the fuck does it matter so much to you that you want to send death threats and DDoS someone's site just for having a different fucking opinion?
Well, okay. And to be fair, then let's take that statement and apply it to fucking reviews in general. Why is our industry, I say are the games industry, so fixated on reviews in the first place?
Because they want some sort of validation for the product that they've put out.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are also probably paid voices, and other people are too. A good number of people in this world are really weak-willed. I'm going to just flat out and say it. Some people only base their opinion off of the opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Or use that as their selling point rather than fucking try it for yourself.
But, okay, like, I agree to that to a point. But, like, there are friends of mine, you guys included in that, where, like, if you told me that, like, Rob, you just should stay the hell away from this game, or Rob, you should really take a look at this game, I would let that weigh on whether I might play a game or not. Does that make sense?
But you actually trust our opinions.
I do.
The thing is, this is a complete fucking stranger.
Just kidding.
This is a complete fucking stranger.
Okay, but some people feel connected to him the way that some of our listeners, this feels really weird to say, but some of our listeners, I think we are in a position of responsibility where sometimes the things we say may have an effect, you know, I'm not trying to sound delusional here, but may have an effect on whether our listeners buy a game or not. You know what I mean?
I still don't think that people should necessarily take our word for it. They need to think for themselves, try it for themselves. And there are ways of, you know, you can go to wherever to buy a game, play it for a couple of days, and if you decide that it is not to your liking, return it. There's still rental services out there online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are ways to try before you buy. No one is infallible.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ100 Matt says, I wish Metacritic existed when I spent my money on Silver Surfer NES as a kid. Alex P. Carson says, but you're God.
Well, I know that, but...
now.
No. But still, you know...
So, I was going to say, you know, I'm in the reviews here. I just thought I'd read some of the comments.
Okay.
Because you know you're not supposed to ever read the comments.
But we're going to, for the sake of entertainment.
So the featured comment is, drink bleach, you fat, miserable cunt.
That's just...
That's unnecessary.
It's unnecessary, and that's just straight up cyberbullying. Like, I laugh, but I laugh because it's fucking awkward. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, ha, 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 this person might be a mass murderer, and I gotta go. Like...
Well, the other thing, too, though, is that... I mean, when we ask our friends something, we know things about our friends. We know things. We know their personality. We know the other kind of games they like. And if you've ever played a game that they enjoy and you enjoyed it, chances are their opinion will matter because they like the same things that you do in that. Or because, you know, oh, this person really is into adventure games and they'll be really critical of it. And if they say, you know what, I enjoyed this game. Then you know that this person who's normally critical of the genre enjoyed themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy the game. But I think, though, that you also have to look for the sake, because as far as I'm aware, this Jim Sterling guy tends to like to shake things up anyway to give an unpopular opinion because it gives him attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, that's really it. It's this whole attention grabbing thing. And so that's why I really don't want to put a lot of stock into his words because he does shit like that.
Well, I'm also just bringing it up because he is the focus of all this right now. And, you know, that the comment that Loki read, you know, he's getting it. So, yeah, but you do offer a fair criticism that it could be for attention.
It's not. And that's the kind of the misunderstanding.
Go ahead.
That's kind of the misunderstanding he takes on a lot of different issues with different opinions on that stuff, but I wouldn't say he does things strictly for the attention.
Yeah, I mean, now don't get me wrong. I think there are things he does do for attention. The whole thing with the monetization on YouTube. He made a brilliant counter argument for all that.
No, that I think is because it's stupid bullshit. It's just I think he figured that out by accident.
Yeah, but anyway, that whole thing. But I mean, but that's not. It's like not necessarily bad in a way too. I think his criticisms of Zelda were fine, like, and it's okay that he only gave it a 7 of 10. I think so. I'm not saying that matches my opinion or whatever, but I also recognize, okay, flip the tables a little bit, and let's say we're talking about movies. Has there ever been an Oscar-winning movie where you were like, that was a fucking bad movie? Like, yes. That was not even, like, right? Probably just within the last 10 of them that won an Oscar, you can probably think of one where you were like, you know, that movie wasn't very good.
I was super glad La La Land didn't win one.
All right. But as much as people are saying, you know, there's this backlash against La La Land, it still did get 14 nominations, right? So, and I haven't seen it. I have no opinion. But so there's a lot of that, whereas a lot of people disagree with the fact that that film should have even gotten nominated for 14 things. So...
Or Suicide Squad won one, which I'm going to say I liked the makeup job in it, which was what it won for, but it wasn't really that great of a movie.
That was all it was.
It wasn't bad.
That was all it was some good makeup. Some good beating.
It wasn't even great makeup. I mean, it was okay. It was, I think there's other movies that did way better. I mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, on top of that, though, I think that if you were going to go to look at a reviewer, don't just look at the number. Read what they say about
it. Yes.
Don't do a too long didn't read.
I bet to a lot of people out there, if you took the score away from Jim Sterling's article and you took the score away from another, let's say, 9 out of 10 article to somebody who really didn't know the styles of the two reviewers, I bet somebody would not be able to tell the difference. It's easy. And you ask them, like, what score did this game ultimately get from this reviewer? I bet you would get different answers. You know what I mean?
Well, and on top of that, you know, the types of reviews that I enjoy
if they're going to do some kind of summary to the effect, then they should have a pro-con list, you know. And on top of that, too, reviews are opinions, you know, and opinions are like genitals. Some people have two. Some people have different ones. Mm-hmm. But everyone doesn't look the same. And you don't necessarily want to get into someone's pants to find out.
Now, before some, I get the email on this, because I know it's going to be coming. There's going to be an email or something, or a chat. I'm surprised the chat comment hasn't happened yet, that says, well, wait a minute, Rob. What about at VogNetwork.com? Don't you guys review things and you leave scores? Yes, we do. But A, we use a different scoring system than out of 10. And a lot of thought went into that because, especially with things like video games, we use the schoolhouse grading basically, because an F is failure. Everything above an F at least has like some redeeming qualities to it, right? Whereas I feel like in gaming, anything below a 5 out of 10, or fuck, now in this case, a 7 out of 10 is viewed as a failure. And I feel like the gradehouse schooling gives you a little more leeway with that. But the more important thing is that we also encourage on our website for people to leave their own counter opinions right there. And as long as you don't say, what was that, drink bleach, you fat cunt, or whatever, those get moderated out. But as long as the review is intelligent, we're perfectly happy to put, here is a dissenting opinion right next to the review score that we gave it.
But I still don't think that people should, in general, put their soul
right
judgment
right
on the opinion of somebody else.
Even on a review that's on our site.
And who cares if its Metacritic went from 98 to 97? Oh, shit, it's 97. I'm sorry, I can't buy that game anymore.
But on top of that, though, it's just like, I have a friend. I mean, I'm sure everyone in this room knows this particular friend of mine, who was always only saying, well, it got bad reviews, I don't want to play it. It got bad reviews, I don't want to play it. And then I'll go and play the game, and I'll be like, whatever, this was really great, you know.
Well, and there's some games that you're going to like more than another gamer just because it's the type of game that you're into. For example, or OLR and music games, right? I'm going to openly admit, I'm always going to have a little more leeway in my heart for a music-based game. That's just, you know, music games are part of the reason why this show exists. Music games are, you know, a big part of my passion and so forth. So there's always going to be a little bit part of me that just because it's a music game, I'm going to kind of look over and be like, oh, maybe I should try that one. Now, of course, one could argue it also can make me more critical of a bad music game.
Being groovy.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, that's just a bad game, period. But, you know, there's a little bit of that coming on. Is that sometimes your own little like personal like genres that you're into and things like that are gonna come into play. The other thing I would say with this, okay, like Blaster Master Zero. Okay, I've been playing a lot of that game since it came out on the Switch, and I think that game is getting like maybe eights, sevens, and eights. Like it's doing good, but it's not like Zelda good, right? But like for me, that game is a 10 out of 10 for me. But even if I were to like review that on VOG, I wouldn't necessarily give it an A+ because I recognize that the game is flawed. But for me, I still embrace it, flaws and all, because it's the type of game that I really enjoy.
Well, and to go back to what I was saying about, you know, it wasn't the right term I meant for it, but the weak-willed comment, it more has to do, I think, with people who are so looking for a validation of their own opinion.
Yeah.
That the moment something gets a contrary score,
yeah,
they take it as personal insult.
Yeah.
And no, that means you need help. I mean, seriously. When you go in and you think that it's okay to call somebody something like that because of a difference of opinion, mm-hmm, you know, that's not okay. Now, when this difference of opinion is being used to repress entire groups or to, say, take away healthcare from people, that's a different story. But if it is just, I don't like this game that you like, fuck you.
It's entertainment.
You don't.
This is all entertainment. It's not that serious.
You don't have the right to be a shit to somebody just because they don't like the same game you do.
Something you want to interject, Loki?
Oh, I said, or DDoS their site.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Trying to look in chat, of course, over at live.vognetwork.com. MXC says, to me, review scores don't deserve to be viewed as particularly important. It's the words of a review which really tell you someone's view.
But no one wants to read words.
That's why I made the review score on my site images of alpacas, because it's mostly meaningless and cute. I like that idea. Bobby, we should talk about alpacas. let's see.
They're floofy.
What's that?
They're floofy.
They are very floofy and fun.
And you can make hats out of their fur.
Although, then again, we probably shouldn't steal a scoring system from someone else's site, so I will retract that comment. Tiger Claw in chat says, it's things like that why I distance myself from fandom in general. When someone crosses the line, you want no part of it. Oh,
we'll
so
rate
true.
Them based on, like, cuteness of a puppy. So we'll have, like, a really ugly picture of a puppy.
Yeah, but even ugly dogs can be cute. Like, that's
it's all subjective.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's just subjective.
Exactly. Like, isn't there an ugly dogs website and, like uglydogofthedaycom or something? And, like, people will go there because, oh, God, that dog is so ugly. It's so precious. I love it. You know, right? Like, there's no such thing as an ugly dog. let's see. SS2100 Matt in chat says, the sad thing is that the internet will forget this reviewer and their review in a few weeks. Angry internet has a short attention span, which is sad that they cause all this damage for what they will care about for a short time. So let me transition into this a little bit. I know we have other news stories about this game later on tonight. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but speaking of reviews and all this stuff, it goes without saying I have to bring up some of this early stuff that's coming up for Mass Effect Andromeda. So there's a lot of, like, early stuff out there. We'll get into some of the nitty-gritty of it a little later. But Dark Sakura, knowing that people are playing Mass Effect Andromeda on Origin right now and seeing some of the feedback out there, does that affect your anticipation for the game whatsoever?
No.
No. Me neither. You know why? I'm taking a lot of that stuff with a grain of salt right now because, A, the Blaster Master Zero comment I made. Some things I'm just going to be more into than others, and that's okay. And B, just the fact that after what happened with Mass Effect 3, I don't trust social media in general to get it right. I just don't. After what happened with Mass Effect 3's ending and all that bullshit, like, in my opinion, although, yes, Extended Cut made the Mass Effect 3 ending stronger, and I'm glad it exists, like, I think the internet got way fucking bent out of shape with Mass Effect's ending, and it was a total fucking mob mentality, and I feel like the same thing is happening with Andromeda.
I've seen, like, some of the videos that they're posting of, like here are some of the bad animations, and honestly, I, like, have to stare at them, like, I don't see what the bad animation is. I mean, there are some that were silly, like, there's one that, like, got stuck in a crouch animation, which is fine, it's a glitch, but, like, I didn't see anything that was, like, holy shit, my face is missing Ubisoft, you know, yeah, type thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, like, a lot of... Not that I'm giving the industry a pass. I mean, games need to be tested. But, I mean, God, don't we see this same shit in Ubisoft games? Bethesda games?
I think... Oh, God, Bethesda's no for that shit. I mean, I think it's... Yeah, it's even worse with... Like, it's worse with Ubisoft games. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really seen anything too bad yet. And so what? I like watching those videos. I think it's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I can take a fucking joke. Like, there's the Mass Effect. What are those videos that Alan watches? I don't even know if he's listening. Is it called YouTube Poop or something like that? Where they do like the bad cutscenes and they take the dialogue and they splice it together. And that's the one where Shepard's like, "Well, bang, okay." Like, all that's like, that shit is funny to me. Like, that's okay. Like, it's
or
like
they make the really ugly characters. Yeah, and it's just.
You know, and sometimes there are bugs in video games, and yet those bugs can actually be a little charming. And that goes all the way back to the NES days. Like, sometimes there are funky things that happen with retro titles that actually make them a little charming. Hell, that character in Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link, where it goes, "I am error." Like, wasn't that whole thing a mistranslation or something?
It was supposed to be like Errol or something.
Yeah. And so. You see that shit on t-shirts. So, anyway, I don't know. I just, yeah, Tiger Claw in chat says, Mass Effect Andromeda is the result of fans wanting more Mass Effect, so the developers have to come up with something that doesn't shit on what happened during the previous games. Well, I mean, I get that's why the story is what it is, and they had to distance it from the initial trilogy. But I don't know. I just, this is one of those games where I'm not going to fucking listen to the internet. I'm going to play it for myself and see what I think. I'll let you all know what I think, and then you can take my opinion and let it weigh on yours or not.
I'll tell you whose opinion I've taken into account has been Shane's, who's only played multiplayer.
But no, he played single player. He finally cracked.
Okay.
He played single player.
But I took his opinion on multiplayer because I know he would be critical of it.
Right.
And so his opinion mattered to me. It was the type of opinion I was looking for.
But he's also a friend who's as enthusiastic about Mass Effect as you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you expect that his opinion's going to align closely with your own.
And that is why mm-hmm. I think that going to a reviewer, a stranger, doesn't necessarily make a good reason to try or not try a game. Right. You should go to the people you know.
Right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, run.
And also maybe in the case of Jim Sterling, because certainly he has his fans, you know, and he makes funny YouTube videos like we were talking about earlier that make good points sometimes with the whole like YouTube money thing and all that.
Well, yeah, that's just YouTube bullshit that he figured that out by mistake because...
Or the Konami shit. Like he did a great job with that. He really did.
Yeah, fuck Konami. Yeah.
So, you know, he did a great job with all that stuff. So, you know... Maybe, well, again, I kind of go, but a 7 out of 10 is also not like a terrible score.
It's not, it's just people overreacting. That's what it is.
You got, am I into Zelda games? I'm probably going to be okay.
You just got to take it at your gut reaction. It's like, okay, was that overreacting? Yes, that's overreacting.
But also read or listen to, depending on what you're doing with him, what he's saying, and make your judgment based on that. Because maybe you'll be reading the thing and say, oh, it's just durability in these things. Like, I don't think, that just sounds... like a harder Zelda game, and I've been looking for that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a harder Zelda game like Zelda 2 and bullshit durability system Zelda with the fucking radio tower shit where you got climb. That is fucking dumb.
Yeah,
it is pretty dumb.
No,
I like the towers.
Zelda isn't perfect, but it is. It is one of the most well polished games in a
it
very.
It is. No,
very
I'm not
going to
argue
time.
That it's not polished. But my God, they didn't need the durability system in there.
I don't, you know, I agree with you. But
or they
it doesn't ruin the game for me.
They could
it's
tone
just
it down, like a sword shouldn't be breaking. Like maybe you could have it where it just does less damage after a while. And
I
you repair that.
I would love for there, and some people are going to strongly disagree with me. So have at it. I would love for there to just be an easy mode in Zelda, and in easy mode, the weapons take 3 times as long to break,
or they don't.
I could see where you'd get overburdened because everybody's telling me like, oh, Rob, at the end of the game, you get weapons so fast that you don't even know what's going on. Okay, that's great if I'm going to make it to the end of the game
then,
because I'm getting annoyed
then perhaps
at the beginning of it.
Don't do that. If you have so many weapons that it's just an onslaught, like right now, like I find myself using just like the weakest weapons that I have against enemies because I'm like, oh, shit, I want to break these good ones. And that's kind of a stupid way to play. I would think you'd want to use the most powerful weapon in... It's because of this stupid system. Granted, I've only played it for 2 hours, so it doesn't really bother me too much. But I play Skyrim where I'm carrying literally granted, I've, you know, glitched that game out to all hell, but I'm, you know...
Weapons break in that game, though. But
no,
takes,
they don't.
They don't. Oh, I thought they did
no,
wear down.
No, they don't. They never break.
You have to go to the blacksmith and
to smith new weapons, to make new weapons.
I thought it had a durability thing.
Nope,
okay,
no durability
wrong.
At
no,
all.
That's fine. All right, anyway. So, you know, one other thing I'll say on this, and I swear to, so we'll move on. You know, you can take the opinions of your friends and the people online that you participate with, whether it be us or another show or a YouTube or whatever. You can take all that with a grain of salt and then form your own opinion on the games and have fun with whatever game it is you're into. But the other thing that I've grown to really appreciate is the rise of streaming and all this with, you know, we were talking about this a little bit last week at the top of the show. I think streaming has become a great way for me to check out, quote unquote, a game that I'm on the fence about. And I have been swayed both ways on the fence on a game I was on the fence about by checking out streaming because it lets me see a little more of the game in its natural habitat outside of the parameters of what the PR team approved for cutting to be released and all that stuff. You know what I mean, right? Like when you're seeing streaming, you're seeing the raw game being played. So that's another way that I, at least myself, will certainly, especially when I'm on the fence, have my decision made. But anyway, let's talk about... well, thank you, SJ100 Matt, over in chat. SJ100 Matt says, this show has sold me on many games in the past. Well, we appreciate that. But at the end of the day, if you like something we didn't like, We'll still take your call. We still want to hear from you. If you hated a game that we did like and you want to yell at us for having you spent $60 you shouldn't have spent, we will caution you that, hey, buddy, you're the one that made the decision at the end of the day. But we will still allow your counter opinion on the show. We're happy to have it. Anyway, let's talk about where our hard-earned spent money has gone this week in a segment about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. How is your gaming week, Dark Sakura?
It has been all Zelda all the time and some World of Warcraft, Miitomo, Bust a Move, and Pokemon Go.
Busy, busy.
Not really.
All right.
That's it.
That's it. Loki, how about you? How's your gaming week?
My gaming week, I played a little bit of Pokemon Go, just because I was still in Midtown, so there's lots of Pokestops there. I bought Zelda on Friday, so I picked up that, and I played a couple hours on Friday night, but I haven't really played it since then, just because I've been really into Skyrim. So in Skyrim, I've been been doing different like quest lines, so now I finished the Dark Brotherhood quest line. I'm starting the whole Stormcloaks quest line, and I'm going to be doing probably the Way of the Voice stuff as well. So just kind of doing all that stuff, and then maybe once I get around to it, do some of the like side quests, clean all that Radiant quest stuff I have up. I'm really enjoying it quite a bit. With Zelda, I did, like I said, I played it a couple hours. It was a pretty game. I liked it. One thing that kind of annoyed me from the get-go is, like, I was trying to not use tilt controls because I didn't realize that it was turned on. And so I was using the right analog stick, and I kept wondering why I couldn't, like, aim very well because it just kept moving my cursor around. And it's because the tilt controls are on. Like, they put that on default because Nintendo has to fucking push their goddamn fucking tilt controls for every goddamn thing. I wish there was like, hey, this is an option. Do you want tilt controls or do you want to use your fucking analog stick? I wish that was given to me instead of just, hey, you're a Nintendo user, so you're going to love those fucking tilt controls because we need to justify putting that shit in there. So, but once I figured that out, then that was all right. Durability hasn't really bothered me too much yet, but still very early in the game. It is kind of annoying. But I think what's even worse is it's no whole inventory management shit. It's fucking feeling a lot like No Man's Sky, where I'm getting all these weapons and it's like, oh shit, I gotta like manage my inventory and drop shit that I don't need. So it's like, I don't need to be doing this in a Zelda game. I shouldn't be doing it. Just don't hand out as many weapons then. I don't know. So that's it.
All right. My gaming week, I must admit, was a little light because of the theme park trip that I did this weekend. So that really ate into my gaming week since I didn't really, unless you want to count like doing Buzz Lightyear and Midway Mania as gaming, because I got to ride those rides when I'm at Disneyland. I didn't really play a lot of games. I was driving too, so I didn't really get to play on the trip or anything. So
no Pokemon Go at Disneyland?
Okay, funny you should bring that up. I binged on Pokemon Go. Thank God I have the plus, right? So, like, oh, man, just everywhere.
Just walking around, just like, boop, 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 boop. And it's like,
not a lot of rare stuff, although we did spot an Aerodactyl, which I know is a 10K that a lot of people. I have three of them by now, but I've hatched a bunch of them. But I know that was the one Pokemon that a friend of mine, who, by the way, never gets super into video games. Like, he's always been, like, a casual gamer, but he's, like, fucking super into Pokemon Go. Like, he's further along than I am. And, the Aerodactyl was the one thing he needed to complete his Gen 1 decks, right? So, like, I always would give him shit. And every time I see one or I hatch one, I'd send him a screenshot and I'd say, hey, you should come visit or whatever. So, funny enough, I did that when I was at Disneyland. I sent, like, a screenshot and I said, hey, look at what's over here at Disneyland. You have an excuse to come. And, like, 5 minutes after I sent that, he said, look what just hatched. OMG, I'm shaking. Like, and he got his Aerodactyl finally. So this is funny.
Cool.
But anyway, Merrills were the thing that I don't see a lot of otherwise. So I don't know if there was a nest there at California Adventure or something, but that was that. But here's the thing. So finally at night, around probably like 8 or 9 o'clock, like every time I would catch a Pokemon, my Pogo Plus would be like, you've been disconnected. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was getting really, really annoyed. Well, it turns out, reading some stuff online and so forth, my battery died on the trip. So I use that Pogo Plus all day long. And keep in mind, I use that thing when I do lunch breaks at work to get walking credit for the eggs. I've walked around downtown for, just when JD was visiting last week, we walked around downtown and I was using that thing nonstop. So I'm not surprised the battery just fucking finally died. But unfortunately, I didn't plan ahead and bring a spare watch battery, so I didn't get to do any Pokemon.
They're not rechargeable?
No, they use watch batteries. They're
like little watch.
You didn't realize that? No.
That's so stupid.
No, yeah, they use watch batteries.
Way to go.
Well, to be fair, they last a long time. I mean, I'm a power user for those things, Loki. They last a long time.
It doesn't matter. Then that's fine. Have a rechargeable. That's dumb.
Yeah, no, that's not rechargeable.
That's so fucking dumb.
So, I guess get a rechargeable watch battery or something. But yeah, so I have to switch it out. I didn't get to use it at all at Universal. So I was really irritated, but at the same time, I was like, okay.
Got a phone. I mean,
your inventory. Well, yeah, and I did get my bonuses and here and there, but you know, that thing is a fucking drain on your phone. We had to bring, our giant battery that like is the highest amount of volts of a battery you can bring on an airplane. Like that's what we brought with us to Disneyland and had in our little bag that so we could charge with us. And so that was good for Disney that day. But I like the amount of power I used when I couldn't play Pokemon Go versus when I was playing it on Saturday, which is like a crazy difference. So anyway, yes, there was that. I did play a lot of Pokemon Go. Otherwise, I continued playing Blaster Master Zero. Honestly, didn't get to do a lot of Zelda this week. And this may come as a surprise to some people, too. I know the Mass Effect Andromeda thing is on the early access for the EA subscribers. I chose not to do it. As much as Shane tried to get me on it, I don't know if he did this to you too, Dark Sakura, but he was really trying to convince me to get the EA access thing. But two things. A, I knew I would be out of town all this weekend, so the only time I would have got to play that would have been Thursday night and tomorrow night, assuming I don't get it early from Amazon, which sometimes happens, but after the whole Switch debacle, I don't know if it will or not. But also, B, I just kind of didn't want to support what EA was doing with that. Like, I just didn't want to support the whole, oh, you have to be a member of our Netflix thing to get a 10-hour early access. Like, I can fucking wait 5 more days, you know, to do it. The fact that I did theme parks over the weekend, I think, helps. But I didn't want to do it. So that was all. Shane tried to tempt me. I think multiplayer would have been a lot of fun. But I was like, no, I can pack on Thursday night and do things to take my mind off it. And then I'll be ready for it on Tuesday when it arrives on PlayStation 4, which is where I'm doing it because I'm curious about the whole PlayStation 4 Pro and all the stuff they've been doing with that. I'm curious to see how that's gonna look. So we'll see. All right, let's get into some gaming news. I do want to just mention some quick housekeeping. We will. I believe we are not going to be here. I don't know if we've like firmly figured that out. I don't think we're going to be here April 9th. But that is the day after Sac Indie Arcade, which I think we did in years past anyway. We're going to be broadcasting all day long that Saturday from the West Sacramento Convention Center with our pals at Sacramento IGDA. Looks like some of the speakers have come out for this year's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. That will be all day long on VOG starting at about, I don't have the exact times yet. I think it's going to be about noon Pacific. For about 5 hours. So we'll be broadcasting from the West Sacramento Convention Center that. But the next day there won't be an OLR because of the fact that we would have streamed all day long before that. And Jamie and I have a longtime friend who is going to be in town visiting from Japan that day.
Yes.
So sorry, not sorry, guys. But if we are giving you 5 hours the day before, we're going to take the night off to hang with our friend. So that will be April 9th when that show will not be here. So let's move on. Otherwise, twitter.com/OLR, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. Let's get into some gaming news for the night. Loki.
So, yeah. So according to a Wall Street Journal, Nintendo is supposed to be increasing their production of the Switch. So that's going to be up, I guess. They're going to be producing 16 million units for the next financial year. So between, I guess, April 1st and March 31st of 2018. Apparently, I guess they're saying that the Switch broke the 48-hour sales record for console debut from Nintendo, so that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Didn't we get into that last week, though? That's a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but this is kind of just more of just confirming that they're going
to
be making more.
Like, these are kind of the receipts to what Reggie Fils-Aimé was saying earlier.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's more just, I think it's still Reggie saying that to the Wall Street Journal. So
okay,
it,
fair enough.
Yeah, it's still what they're saying.
But the production going up is
it is a good thing, you know. I want to see if the demand's going to sustain. Because
why didn't the classic NES production ever double? That's what I'd like to know. What the fuck is up with that?
I still like to pick up one at some point if they're even making them anymore.
I haven't seen one. Well, I've never seen one on the fucking shelf. Never. But at this point,
ridiculous.
I kind of don't expect to.
They shouldn't be able to produce a Linux computer that quickly.
I just figured at some point they were going to like fold that into the Switch. Like they were just going to put out like a classic NES pack game for the Switch that was just going to be like a $30 game that would just have those same 30 titles. And your Switch, voila, is an NES. I'm just waiting for that.
At least the controllers would go further. So here's some funny. You know, the Switch, of course, like most modern gaming consoles, has parental controls built into the Switch, so you can monitor when your kids are playing and for how long and that type of stuff. However, apparently, it can be bypassed by merely going offline. So, if you take your Switch offline,
really?
Then it will stop the tracking of playtime. Whoops.
Well, but it does show an interesting component of how Nintendo's smartphone apps are tapped in through the internet through some type of central Nintendo server. But I'm thinking ahead to this whole voice chat thing that they're doing because I'm still really curious, like, how is that going to look through the app and all this? And the bits and pieces that you're picking up about Nintendo is that this app is going to have more than just a fucking telephone. Like this, they talk about what the whole schedule playtime sessions with your friends and stuff like that. Like they want to have something a little more robust in that. So it's interesting how for a company that we razz over and over again for never being able to understand online, it's interesting how Nintendo is now almost tapped, as this story might lead you to believe, too much into online.
Yeah, because apparently one of the things with the way this works, like, so you set, like, okay, my kids can play for 4 hours. So if they take it offline, if they don't take it offline, then the console shuts off after 4 hours. If they take it offline, it stops ticking that timer, and then...
Because the console doesn't read the time online or whatever, or something.
Yeah, which is weird that it couldn't just read the clock on the console and, you know, cache that stuff to the console. Because, you know, that would make sense in case of any sort of hiccups.
Well, unless what's really happening is that Nintendo's central server is sending the message that says, shut off, playtime's over. Like, that message is coming from the cloud. Everything's being controlled
Wow, that'd be scary that couldn't be exploited somehow if there isn't, you know, a way to send all those consoles that shut off.
Well, after Cloud showed up in Smash Brothers, he's fucking everywhere now, Loki.
He is. I'm gonna...
Just be glad the parental controls are not run by Bayonetta.
He's gonna bust your gameplay by shutting your consoles.
Is this parental call? Would you use this app with your kids, Loki?
No, I would just go fucking turn the system off. I'd be like,
you're gonna do it the old school way, like the parents just take the fucking cord.
It's not even that. Like, for example, now with their tablets, hey, time to turn your tablet off. Which I know what that means. I'm not gonna fucking turn my tablet off until you rip it out of my hands, and that's what I do. I'm like, fucking, I told you to turn that shit off. I'm taking it away now, and occasionally I forget to charge it. You know that too.
Has the kid ever given you a line like Jamie gave her parents, which she told on this show? Didn't your mom take the cord away or something and you threatened to sue her?
She took my TV out of my room. I went and got it back and I said, this doesn't belong to you. It was given to me.
What happens when the kid pulls that, Loki?
I'll just put it up on a high shelf. He's small. He's short. He can't get up in there.
Fair enough.
I had a step stool.
He can get a ladder. He still can't reach it.
Maybe don't let your kids hang out with Aunt Jamie too long. Small doses.
I'll just delete his fucking app. He doesn't know how to download it.
All right. Yeah, that was the old school way. Is that my mom would just march in and she'd be like, "Where's the light? Where's the light?" And she'd hit it until she found the power button.
Especially if
she didn't know what the fuck she was doing.
Especially if it's like the Switch or something like that. It's like, fuck that. It's my turn to play that shit. And, you know. I didn't do that crap all the time. My daddy, I want to play stuff on the TV. No, it's my time. You go away.
All right. Well, apparently there's this Wi-Fi glitch going on with the Switch. I haven't seen a lot of this. In my bedroom where I play the Switch sometimes before bed, and in my living room where the TV is, I get 3-bar signal on Switch. But I'm told some people have issues with the Switch. The Switch will lose, or the Switch is having bad Wi-Fi signal in other parts of the house, like just in places where it shouldn't be getting bad signal, like. My phone has perfect signal right next to the freaking router, but my Nintendo Switch like loses Wi-Fi completely. So apparently there's some weird things going on with the Switch and Wi-Fi. Now, this is going around the internet. I don't know if y'all are experiencing this, but there's some sources out there. Nintendo Life compiled a few of them that basically says that there are some frame rate drops happening on the Switch, and this could be a flaw with the Wi-Fi feature. Apparently, it's because of the auto connect feature, because if you go in and turn that feature off, you get a smoother frame rate. So the rumor is that this auto connect thing that keeps trying to connect back to Wi-Fi is causing a frame rate performance issue in Breath of the Wild, which I always assumed was just the game wasn't running as well at 900. But I guess maybe people are seeing things like drop out where it was running smooth before.
I think that was pointed out by the developer of Fast RMX.
Oh, interesting.
They realized that was the issue that they were getting. I thought maybe I'm getting my stories confused.
Are they having problems with their online play?
No, I think they were having problems with their frame rate. Maybe. Wow. I don't remember it. I could be getting those two crossed, but I remember they made a comment about something.
I just assumed it was Zelda.
Maybe it could be Zelda. Because
look at your friends list. It's like 19 of them are playing Zelda. One of them is getting Binding of Isaac this week, is playing that. So, very interesting. So, anyway, it does seem Nintendo is working on some type of firmware update for this. But, of course Nintendo is working on firmware updates anyway, because the Switch OS is not totally done. Again, we still don't know what the full online picture looks like. And we have a Splatoon test fire coming up next week. So that's going to be an interesting weekend for the Switch. I'd be curious if we get a big firmware update this weekend. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about something else. Dark Soccer, what do you got for us?
Sonic stuff.
Yay.
So basically, Project Sonic 2017 is now named Sonic Forces. I don't know if it's going to be any better than some of the other more current Sonic 3D games, but who knows? It also has a logo which looks very military. But in other Sonic news, Sega's actually going to be holding back Sonic Mania. It was supposed to be in spring 2017, but now it's going to be in summer for Switch, PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. So, it's supposed to be like a classic Sonic take, so maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, but Sonic 4 was supposed to be a classic Sonic take, too, and, you know.
Well, Sonic 4 was kind of crap.
Dot, dot, dot. Some comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster saying the Sonic Forces footage looked interesting. Dark Tetsuya says the vibe I got from the preview footage was very Sonic Adventure-esque.
Well, yeah, but Sonic Adventure 2 was kind of crap.
Yeah, so hopefully in a good adventure kind of way. ActDef says, yeah, both Sonic Mania and Forces look great. Alex P. Carson says, I really, really want a good Sonic game. We're overdue for one. Sweet Jesus. Well, Generations wasn't bad, right? I don't know.
Was pretty good.
Yeah, I was kind of into Generations. And I always cut the, oh, those aren't really Sonic games. Or are they? The racing games. Are those Sega racing? No, they're Sonic racing, right?
I think they're Sega racing.
I thought it was Sonic and
Sonic
all.
Sonic and Sega racing.
Oh, that's what it was. Sonic and Sonic, his shitty friends, and Sega pals all go racing. I like those games, I think, a little more than the rest of the internet.
No, I'm sorry. No, it was Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing is what it was.
Okay, is that Sonic what it is? Well, there was also two of them.
Yes, there was All-Stars Racing and All-Stars Racing Transform.
Okay, that's it. That's it. So, looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. ActDef says Generations is one of the best. IcePP in chat says, Alex P. Carson, try Sonic Utopia. Yeah, isn't that fan one?
Yeah, it's a fan.
Yeah. I never did get to try that. I wanted to. So, cool. S200 Matt says, I love Sonic and Sega All-Stars Transformed was amazing. I wish they would make more of that. I kind of do too. If nothing else, it's a reason to keep putting Ooh La La in games. So, you know, I'm all for that. Anyway, Dark Soccer.
I want Space Michael to drive a car.
are we at the point where that would be okay to do? Or, you know, is this... Oh, you want to... Okay, complete tangent. Theme park tangent. You ready for this? Okay. So, guess what we learned about Star Tours?
What?
So... Apparently, you know, you can ride that ride. If you've ridden the ride Star Tours before, you know there's several different configurations you can get. And this is the new version that launched, what, about, God, it was almost 5 years ago.
Still haven't been on it. Well, okay. The original.
Okay, well, they have the new one. And So you get these different configurations where you might go to Hoth as the first planet, or you might go to, I keep wanting to say Terrain, like it's fucking Metroid. I mean to say Tatooine. You can go to like these different planets, and then you get different closing planets. But the middle segment is always a message from somebody. And the message can be from Admiral Ackbar. It can be from Princess Leia. It can be from Yoda. Or they just added recently BB-8 can also now deliver the message too. Beep. In the middle. But here's the thing. So Victoria, who's a dear friend of mine who I was going to see on this trip, she's like a Disney whore.
Mm-hmm. And
I mean that in the best possible way. She actually dresses as the whore in Pirates of the Caribbean. So I say that as a term of empowerment because she pulls it off great.
We wants the redhead.
Exactly. Saw her dress, she's fucking amazing. We did the ride. She says, every time I ride this, I always brace myself in this middle portion that Princess Leia is going to show up. And I'm just going to fucking lose it. And I said, Victoria. And sure enough, we wrote it. We got Ackbar, right? She's like, God, I'm seeing Ackbar all the time lately. So I said, Victoria, I'm going to I bet you anything, they pulled Leia out. Because if you're afraid that you're going to have a reaction, think about all these other people, like 20 and 30 somethings are going to be riding a fucking ride at Disneyland and then losing their shit halfway through because Leia shows up. And so what did we do? We asked a cast member. Mm-hmm. We said point blank, did you take Leia out of the rotation? And they just quietly like look around to see if anybody else is there and then kind of whisper to us, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. So you can't get Leia on Star Tours right now. So little.
I'm glad I've seen her.
Yeah. Well, and it's not that they won't ever bring her back. Mm-hmm. But now to loop this back to what you were just saying, you have to answer that question of when now will it be okay to do that where people aren't going to have that. And I know this phrase is overused online, but it's what it is. That trigger response. That's what it is. This whole thing we're talking about is a trigger response. So we, you know, when are we going to be far enough from that? Is it a year? Is it 5 years? I don't know. So that's what I'm asking with Space Michael. Can we put Space Michael in the game, or is that still going to be raw for some people? I think it's been long enough myself.
Yeah, it's been long enough.
Yeah. No. Anyway. So going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says they added that when Force Awakens came out. Yeah, I hadn't been in 3 years though, or the BB-8 thing is what he's referring to. I hadn't seen that in 3 years. So I was actually hoping to get the BB-8 and the new stuff, but sadly we got Hoth and Ackbar. Although I think Hoth is the best first configuration. The Hoth sequence is pretty fucking rad, I gotta say. So
now, did you do Soarin' Over the World?
We did do Soarin' Over the World. I'm glad you asked. So they changed Soarin' Over California to Soarin' Over the World, which now instead of going over, you know, all these random-ass places in California, you go over famous landmarks like the Great Wall of China, the Taj Mahal, and these beautiful mountains and stuff. So here's the thing. Yeah, I wrote it, and I walked off. I looked at Alan. I said, did that look fucking fake to you? Because the entire thing looked fake to me. And Alan was kind of like, it was fake? He's like, the Taj Mahal looked really fake. He said, but I think the rest of it was real. I'm like, oh no. That was all CGI. That was all CGI. The animals, like the whales. He's like, well, of course the animals were CGI. But I'm like, no, it was all CGI. All of it. So that's my only complaint with Soarin' is that like it looks so good because it's an HD movie now too. But like because it's HD, its fakeness is very apparent to me. Like I almost wish for the film quality one back. But I think that one was really film, except they probably added in the dude on the paraglider and the things that were in the old version of it. But I think there was a lot that was
right.
Legit
they probably
in
just
the first
like
version.
Filmed it with a helicopter and took like they also had like they capture the motion of it and yeah. Everything so they can sync it to it.
But I'm telling you, the Taj Mahal is the fucking fakest thing I've seen in a Disney ride in a long time. It was like really obviously fake. But again, and then Alan perfectly summed it up in the way he always does. He said, gosh, Rob, it's almost as if they made that ride for kids or something. And I was like, fine.
Yeah, but you know
fine.
What? You know what? Okay, and then fine. You know, here's what they should do then instead. Say, fuck that soaring over California. Fuck soaring over the world. It should be fucking soaring with goddamn light planes. Like fucking out of Tron, you know?
Yes.
That's
yes.
what they should do.
Bring Tron back to Disney. All right. I know we got on a Disney tangent, but of course that happens here on the show. I have to get to some of the comments in chat here. SS2 and Hunter Matt says, Rob dropping the insider info. Kaijudo saying, that person that spilled the beans on the Star Wars tour was thrown into a rancor pit after. I hope not. He was a nice guy to tell us that and be very blunt with us for that. Bobby Blackwolf says, there is literally nothing on the internet that says anything about Leia being removed. I think we just broke a story. Time to go to Wikipedia. Really? Well, okay, you know what's going to happen? Bobby, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The minute you go and post it that Leia's been removed, somebody's going to reply, nuh-uh, I just saw her. Or I have a friend that was just at Disneyland that just saw her, and you Vogue people are a bunch of fucking liars. It's going to be that whole Shazam effect. Or no, is it Shazam or Kazam? Which one's the fake movie? Okay, Kazam.
I don't even
fucking know anymore. I don't even know anymore. There's so many alternative facts on the internet. I don't even fucking know anymore what's real and what's not. Shaquille O'Neal, real? Sinbad, fake.
They'll be like, drink bleach, you fat, miserable cunt Vogue Network. I just saw Leia.
I shouldn't be laughing. But you did tie that together very well. That was a very good that was a good callback. What we call it. That was a good callback. All right. Anyway. Hey Dark Sakura. How you doing over there? Are you ready to go on Soarin' Over the World? Would you be okay if Soarin' Over the World just looked like total CGI?
No.
No.
I don't want to go on it actually.
Now, because you trust my opinion.
Not just that. I think the Soarin' Over the World thing was dumb.
Oh.
I would prefer Soarin' Over California.
Yeah, and now it no longer smells like oranges.
Yeah,
but
the place didn't actually smell like oranges to begin with.
When you fly over Fiji, it does. Like, that's the only part of the ride that smelled to me was Fiji. In a pleasant way, it smelled, before you guys think I'm making a joke here, the Fiji smelled like the beach. And I was like, oh, that's nice. But that was the only part of the whole ride that I actually caught a smell with was the Fiji part. So
the Soarin' Over California used to just give me like bad vertigo when you go over the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even think that I want to watch the fakeness.
They didn't have you soar over like the middle of like China and just like,
no, the Great Wall. You do the Great Wall.
No, just and like, you know, spraying like a bunch of smog or whatever.
No, it wasn't that part of China. It was the beautiful Great Wall. But I will say this, the one thing they knew not to change and they didn't was the beautiful music they use on Soarin'. They did not really change the music except, okay, when you go through China, then the music gets all like starts being on a Mandarin, right? And all that stuff. When you go to the Taj
Mandarin?
Or what?
Mandolin.
Thank you, a mandolin.
A Mandarin is an orange.
You know what? I've just been driving for 5 hours, so I don't want to hear
it. Let's go squish, squish, squish. Squish, 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 squish.
I'm just missing that orange smell on Soarin', okay? Fucking leave me alone.
Soarin was the ride I'd go on when my feet hurt.
And then the Taj Mahal got very, like, you know, like total cultural appropriation. But
so it was then played on like a sitar or something.
So yes, it's exactly, like the It's a Small World after
yes,
all. Yeah.
It's like the Disney version where it's like, you let them get away with it because it's Disney and it's cute, you know.
The best part about Soarin', though, is the intro done by the Tick. Or the guy who played
and
the
Tick. And he is still there. Patrick Warburton is still there.
I love him.
They actually recycled the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And it works. So anyway.
We're going to be soaring over the world today.
All right. Now everybody in chat is giving me shit. Bobby Blackwolf is like, the Mandarin was a Marvel villain. MXC says music on a Mandarin, LOL. Come on, Nolga says problematic, LOL. You know what?
They make that joke actually in the Lego Marvel cartoon where they all, who's on the phone? Oh, the Mandarin. Ooh, I'll get my juicer. No, not that Mandarin.
And Dungeon Buster says, aw, it looks like they replaced the Captain EO return with a Pixar short film festival feature now. Actually, that would have been cool. Captain EO will forever live on in my heart, but a Pixar short film festival would have been awesome. Disneyland has another fucking Star Wars thing in the theater. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Star Wars, but Space Mountain right now, Star Wars. Star Tours, Star Wars. The old EO Theater, Star Wars. Like, it's just, it's the innovations turned into Star Wars stuff.
Matterhorns, like, Star Wars.
It's being refurbished right Hoth. Now, so be careful what you wish for. All right, we need to get back to video games.
Hoth Wars.
OMG, this 30-minute tangent on Disney. Loki, what do you have next for us?
So Injustice 2 is going to be coming out with a unlock system using Source Crystals, which are basically in-game currency that you have to buy. It's meant to be used for purchasing purchasing outfits or gear colors, but you can also use it to level up your characters as well. So, for example, after you've leveled up a character to the max level of 20, you can use Source Crystals to take another character if you're choosing up to level 20 as well. But that can only be done if you have one level at 20, one character at 20. So, apparently, they're saying that it's not going to be used for pay to win, but yeah, I mean, you are technically speeding up the process of leveling up different characters, and it's only for, you know, costumes, but different colors for outfits, different costumes. Wasn't that a fucking staple in fighting games, just fucking palette swaps? Because I'm looking at this fucking picture of Harley Quinn here, and that's a fucking palette swap. I mean, that is a goddamn palette swap right there. It's she has a green and blue costume, or a pink and blue costume, or a black and red costume. It's a palette swap, and you're charging money for that.
Well, if it's minimal in-game currency that you can earn anyway to get said palette swap, then okay, that's a little more.
No,
in line
I don't
with,
think
like,
you can actually earn this. You have
what?
To buy this. This is with real
what?
Money.
No. Oh my god. That
because
sucks.
They have another type of in-game currency, I think, or another type of credits that you get for the actual gear. So they have like stuff that you purchase new gear and stuff like that. But I don't think the Source Crystals you can actually use. I don't believe that you can actually use. Like, you can't earn them in-game.
Wow.
So, I mean, I'm going to take a look and get some more information here. Let's see. So, their official announcement is Source Crystals can be purchased with real money, but aren't required to progress or advance in the game. Can't be used to purchase gear or an advantage in gameplay. It doesn't say they can be earned in-game. Source Crystals can only be used to purchase cosmetic items. And various shaders for different character costumes.
Huh.
Yeah, literally purchasing skins and shaders. I mean, that's...
Yep, I hear you. Back in the old Street Fighter 2 days, it was, you know, press the start button to get the palette swap instead of one of the other buttons. Like, I get it. It
says, do I have to pay for Source Crystals? Yes, real money is used to purchase Source Crystals.
Mm-hmm.
That is fucking stupid. I know, like, people are, like, gung-ho with, like, Overwatch and everything like that, with, you know, loot crates and stuff like that. Please, 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 people that buy this game, don't support this kind of crap. Because this is ridiculous. It's only going to get worse.
All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about an emulator story. So, you know, emulators, they're this gray legal area. I think all these game companies are aware that people use them, and Nintendo probably is the only one that really goes after people like crazy for the emulator stuff, at least not like individuals who use them, but sites that create them and host them and so forth. But this puts an interesting little wrinkle in that whole thing, because there's this Wii emulator out there called Dolphin. Now, I've never used Dolphin, but maybe some of you have.
I have.
Have you? Is it a good emulator?
Yeah, it's good. It does GameCube and Wii emulation.
Okay, I always thought, yeah, I remember hearing Dolphin back when it was a GameCube emulator.
I don't know if it does Wii U as well, but I know it does Wii and GameCube.
Well, here's the thing. The newest version of Dolphin apparently will emulate Nintendo's console to a point where you can actually use the Wii Shop channel and actually use it to make purchases through your emulated Wii. So you can, which, yes, the Wii Shop channel is still open. I know a lot of stuff on Nintendo service closed, but of course Nintendo is going to keep the thing open the longest where they can take money from you. So you could actually go onto the Wii Shop channel, buy games. Shit, you could get an emulator in an emulator. Go buy a virtual console title on the Wii in an emulator, and yo, dog, I heard you like emulators, so here it is. So you can do that now. That's wow, that's very interesting. Something else that is worth noting about Dolphin, you know, as much as Nintendo may not like the whole emulator thing, Dolphin does upscale Wii games into HD resolutions. The original Wii was locked to 480p. So you can play things like Super Mario Galaxy, Xenoblade Chronicles. You can do this in HD through Dolphin. Dolphin will also allow you to export data to an SD card just like a regular Wii does. So does that mean I could play something on the emulator, export it to my card, then take it to a real Wii and play? I mean, it seems like
I don't
that's
know
a given
if you would
point.
Be able to do that, but I could see maybe game saves. Mm.
Yeah.
So you could play like your game saves on there, and then I mean that's pretty awesome. I don't know why they don't do that anyways for just like different systems. Like imagine like the PSP, and you could just have like an emulated version of the PSP. You download the PSP app. It's like you have the console and you buy digitally.
Brad from Pod Culture in chat says, wasn't Dolphin the name for a console, code name for a console? Yes.
GameCube.
And that was answered by Bobby Blackwolf in our chat, who also pointed out that I have used Dolphin, and I didn't even realize it. That was the emulator that was running the F-Zero GX game that I tried in the Oculus Rift. That apparently was a version of the Dolphin emulator, but running on the Oculus Rift, so I didn't realize that. So, okay, I have used Dolphin.
And I bet Dolphin would run pretty well in your PC. Get some F-Zero GX going on there, all HD and shit.
Yeah, that's tempting. That's super tempting. I mean, here's the question I ask you guys. Is it ethical? I'm not going to ask, is it legal? Because the answer would be no, at least according to Nintendo. Would it be ethical for me to use an emulator when I purchase the system and I purchase the game? Is it ethical for me to use the emulator then to
up-res the
game? Because if I'm not mistaken, Dolphin runs off those discs, right? Because you could.
I use an ISO for the one I did mine for last time was the practice because we had that Smash tournament for the little rotation thing that I did.
Yeah.
So I played Smash Brothers Melee using that just to kind of play it a little bit. And my laptop, it ran it like shit, you know, it was okay.
Well, I wouldn't try to put those tiny discs in a laptop drive, but like DVD drive still had like the whole like,
I don't
the 3-inch disc
they,
set in the inside.
I don't think that they would read those because they're technically not DVD format.
Mm.
Or they're not supposed to be DVD format. They're supposed to be something different, but I think it does read the ISOs, but I mean, fuck, you know, who cares? Now, I mean, granted, Nintendo would say it's illegal. Oh, fuck what they care. I don't care. But you have the game. You have the system. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at, where it's like, okay, well, I bought the system. I bought the game. So it's like Nintendo didn't lose any money here. It's just that now I'm choosing to take said game and apply some filters to it to play it a little maybe in a different way than the publisher intended, which is where Nintendo would say the problem is.
Well, then that's their fucking fault, because you know what? They could be doing this shit with their consoles where it's up-resing this stuff and looking nice, but they just refuse to do it. So that comes down to the whole, why was Napster fucking popular or these online sharing sites for MP3s? Because it was easier to get the MP3s through those sites than it was to buy them from the actual, you know, makers of the music. So when it becomes easier to purchase it legit, then it will be. Like, imagine, like, say the Switch or something like that. Let's just pretend that the Switch actually is powerful enough to run these games in HD. Then imagine you could purchase them. Like, okay, hey, we've got this back catalog, F-Zero GX. Okay, you can play it now in 1080p, 60 frames per second. It looks fantastic. It runs great. And you can do it with your Switch, you know, console. Yeah, people will be dropping money for that shit like crazy. But no, Nintendo doesn't do that because I don't know why.
All right, I'm just looking at some of the comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. S200 Matt says, I wish the GameCube was named Dolphin. Yeah, well, the Wii was codenamed Revolution. Remember that? And it was like, God, that name was so much better for a lot of people. But they kind of made Wii work, though. Anyway, Dungeon Buster says, if I own the game in the system, using an emulator to play them on another system seems fine, if not a bit gray to me. Stoppy says, what if you own the game but not the console? Is it okay to play the game on your PC? That's even more of a gray area. I think some would argue yes, because the game is what you purchased and you bought the
software.
Technically,
they don't make anything off the console anyways. They may actually lose money,
well, that's another
interesting argument. In a sense, you're doing them a favor.
I would say it's one of the it's a different shade of gray. I'm not saying there's 50 shades of gray, but there's a few shades of gray, And that's a little darker gray.
I'm surprised that they don't try to come out with something official to do this shit, like for older consoles, like, you know, like Wii consoles. Like, why wouldn't you want to have more platforms for your games to be on? You know, why wouldn't you want, like, this shop is open. You're literally putting out a program that you can go download stuff legit. What's the problem there? I don't understand why you would have a problem with that.
All right. Well, I have to say, ethical or not, especially now that you bring up this F-Zero thing, I'm like, I kind of want to check this out after the show. And I own a GameCube. I've bought every system Nintendo's ever made. And I have a legit copy of F-Zero GX. So I feel like I should be able to do
this.
Well,
think about the virtual console games that you've bought over and over and over again. And then you probably own the original at some point.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, how many times have you paid Nintendo for the same product over and over?
I know, right? Like, you all love to give me shit over this Mass Effect 3 thing. You all love to give me shit about how many times I've bought Mass Effect 3 and on what platforms. Ask me how many times I've bought Super Mario Bros. 3. The original NES version, right? The Super Nintendo remake and Lost Levels. The Wii Virtual Console. I think I have it on 3DS Virtual Console, I think. The Wii U Virtual Console. Super Mario Brothers Advance 4, also on Wii U. I have that too.
Exactly. So you spend that kind of money. You bought that game like dozens of times over, and they're going to still call you a thief and a terrible person for downloading. Fuck them. Fuck you, Nintendo. Fuck you. I will download it and I will play wherever the fuck I want and go fuck yourselves.
All right. Calm down. Calm down. All right. Let's see. Alex P. Carson in chat says, download a ROM and tweak the fuck out of it, Rob. You own it. I wouldn't know what to do except change the sprites to dicks. And that's what everybody did when ROM hacking first came out. You had Super Penis Brothers, The Legend of Penis.
All the particles in, like, F-Zero, the dicks. It's just dicks flying at you.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, how do you really feel, Loki? I really wish you wouldn't censor yourself.
I know. I'm sorry.
And Stoppy gives you a nice hearty, you go, girl. All right. Dark Soccer.
Well, I'm sorry. What? Just to interrupt real quick. All right.
That's all right. I'm used to men interrupting me.
Hey, now.
Kidding.
It's just like, you know, this even coming off of, like, Nintendo wanting a portion of your YouTube video profit because they feel that they deserve that. Fuck them. I mean, seriously, fuck them.
I'm reaching for my volume down lever right now for Loki. All right. Because I feel, and I apologize if your eardrums got blown out a minute ago.
So how about something about Capcom?
How about you go, girl?
Of course. They are reproducing the Disney Afternoon with the Disney Afternoon Collection. Yay! We are going to be getting Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers 1 and 2. Darkwing Duck, you know, the terror that flaps in the night. DuckTales, DuckTales 2, and Tailspin in one big collection for $20. And it comes out the day before my birthday. Someone buy it for me. All because of Darkwing Duck, really.
But all those games are awesome.
Yeah, but $20 for the whole thing. It's going to be on Xbox, PlayStation 4, and PC.
That's great. So, okay, there's a couple weird things about this, though. Well, one, this isn't a weird thing, but this is totally the sequel to the Mega Man collection in a weird way. Like, I think we have the Mega Man Legacy collection to thank for this. Some of the same people are involved, right? I think some of the people we were talking about last week are involved with this as well. So that's kind of neat. But the other thing that's really weird to me about this, okay, all those games in this collection, if I'm not mistaken, are NES games, right? We don't have any Genesis games in there, right? They're all NES original games, right? Yet the Nintendo platform is the one that's missing.
Yeah.
So that part's a little weird to me. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Also, these screens, though, it looks like that they've got them on smaller screens within the screen, which I mean, maybe it's for the aspect ratio.
Uh-huh.
But it just seems kind of ridiculous to me. Like, I have no idea. It just seemed pointless. I guess it's the same thing that happened with... what was that game? Was it Mega Man X3 on Saturn had that kind of window around it? So I think it's kind of dumb.
Well, with a lot of the classic games that come out, like now, they for the HD borders and stuff, they draw those borders. Like, I'm pretty sure Mega Man Legacy had something like that as well. But you can also, you can futz with the aspect ratio. It may not be locked to that. That might just be something they're using for the screenshots, Jamie. But sometimes with those games, you can like turn it off and play it at like original ratio or zoomed. Those games usually give you control. I know Mega Man Legacy did.
And no bonkers or, Goof Troop game?
Still not good enough for you, huh, Loki?
Well, they're both Capcom games. Both Super Nintendo games, so maybe
Maybe the sequel. I kind of wish this collection was on the Switch. I'm like, now I'm turning into that guy where it's like, okay, I would like to be able to play this game on my TV or on the go.
I'll tell you why.
I already know why, Loki.
You already know why?
Because the same reason I've bought Super Mario Bros. 3 17 times.
Because they potentially could release it on Virtual Console as well.
Individually, yes. Yep, I know.
Because Nintendo are fucking greedy bastards.
However, wasn't Mega Man Legacy on Wii U? Am I wrong? I honestly don't know because I didn't buy it on Wii U. I know the DuckTales remake was on Wii U, but that was also, I believe, Way Forward that did that and not Digital Eclipse. Does somebody in chat know? Was the Mega Man collection on Wii U?
I think it may have been. The only thing is that they would have had...
Okay, they are saying no. All right, I'm wrong there.
Oh,
so I was confusing it because of the fact that DuckTales is on Wii U, but that was a different company
because
that made that.
You would be devaluing their platform, Rob, with their virtual. No, I'm serious. I know. I say this like very like ridiculously, but that is how they think. They literally think that it would devalue their platform. That's why fucking Animal Crossing doesn't have NES ROMs in it anymore.
I feel devalued on a regular basis sometimes.
It's Nintendo. It's the horrible relationship we have with them.
All right. Give somebody else a try, Loki. Stop picking on Nintendo. Let's talk about somebody else.
Fine. I'll talk about Sony. So Sony has, and this is, I equally love this service as much as some of the other Nintendo things I've been ragging on just now. But PlayStation Now has got PlayStation 4 games coming to it. Hooray! So, yeah, they're going to be adding those to it. And
can't wait to play Knack.
Yeah, so...
I'm sure that... Are those the games that are coming out for it? It's not going to be Horizon Zero Dawn and the new shit. It's going to be the first wave of PlayStation 4 games, right?
I don't know they really say what games are going to be come out for it. But this is going to be starting, I guess, this year. Now... The reason for that as well is because they're dropping PlayStation 3 and Vita support from PlayStation Now, so you can't play those systems on the Vita or PS3. But yeah, so right now they've got 483 PlayStation 3 games on the service, and they're saying that they're going to be adding PlayStation 4 games to it as well.
You know what would be neat? I'm not going to expect that this is going to happen, but maybe Sony can give this one a little thought as to something they could sweeten the pot with at the E3 conference. What if I already bought a game digitally, and so instead of having to have that game take up space on my hard drive, because it's on my account, I can play it through PlayStation Now. And now I'm not taking up space on my hard drive. Granted, I'd be using my bandwidth through my cable provider, but at least I can make the choice. Do I want to clear space on my hard drive to install this game, or do I want to play through PlayStation Now, maybe this huge backlog of games I've bought with the PlayStation Plus service, and stream those instead? Wouldn't that be kind of cool?
Yeah, that would be something.
And then
same with like, all those PlayStation 2 games I bought on the PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 3 games I bought.
I wouldn't want to devalue the platform.
You wouldn't want to devalue the platform. And also, the powerful PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro are so powerful that they're unable to emulate PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 games.
This is just a broken record at this point. Can Sony please just come out at E3 and say, okay, done. PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 4, done.
The PSP could fucking do that shit. I mean, come on.
You all have talked about how you want to buy a $400 PlayStation 4 or a PS4 Pro, spend $400 on it so you can play PlayStation 1 games. Fine, here you go. Click.
No, I mean, seriously.
And
like,
there's a tiny little button on the stage that they push. There you go. It's done.
They are getting their asses kicked by Microsoft when it comes to backwards compatibility, because on top of that, like the backwards compatible games on Microsoft, I can play those on PC, which begs the question, because I had this conversation with a GameStop employee. why would I want to buy an Xbox One at this point? Because I can just get a PC and fucking have an Xbox One, basically.
Well, and interesting in that whole space as well, we were talking last week about PlayStation Now's competitor now with Microsoft, and the fact that in that program, you will be able to just download the games.
Exactly. Come on. Come the fuck on. You guys are getting your asses beat. It's so pathetic at this point. And then the other thing was
Loki, yep. To be fair, when it comes to the sales, and that's what really counts, Loki, they're not. I mean, we can look at it with the critic eye, but at the end of the day, and I how did this point never come up in the beginning opening moments of our show? Then allow me to make it now. At the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter what any reviewer says. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what your friend on Twitter says. None of it fucking matters. What does matter? Sales. 100%. That's what's important. Will the game sell or not? That's why pre-orders are vicious, especially, you know, getting the pre-orders in before the embargo is lifted on games that might end up being stinkers and so forth. So at the end of the day, it's fucking sales. So that's what I'm saying, Loki, is that you could say like, oh, well, Microsoft is dancing circles around Sony. And I don't disagree with you, but at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. You know why? Because PlayStation 4 is dancing circles around Microsoft when it comes to hardware.
Because they have good first-party exclusives because they're making stuff in-house and they're making deals to get those titles, which, you know, more power to them because they're great titles. I wish Crackdown would come out. But, you know, that may be 2018 next time I hear about it. So
I have a good feeling it'll be this year.
One thing I was also going to mention, in Japan, they are finally ending production of the PlayStation 3 after 11 years. So that's going to be ending very soon.
I have to admit, this is kind of one of those Zsa Zsa Gabor was still alive pieces of news. Like, you know, with all respect, when Zsa Zsa Gabor passed away, a lot of people were like, she was still alive. So that's kind of how I feel about the PlayStation 3 ending production. Like, oh, that didn't already happen?
I still have my launch George Foreman, man. That thing's still running.
PlayStation 3 ended up being a great system. Didn't start as one, yeah. But it ended up being a great system. So, I mean, it's sad to see its day, but
I didn't pay for it, so it's fine.
All right.
I would like a new Resistance game.
Well, maybe somebody out there will hear your prayers. Well, I know that finally I got my prayers heard, and there's going to be a new Mass Effect game, and I hope it's good. I hope it's good. But this stuff gives me hope, because this stuff sounds kind of neat. Mass Effect Archives. It's a website that is coming, and it will allow you to put your Mass Effect character where? In the cloud. That's right. You can launch them into the actual space, the cloud of the internet. This is something that folks with early access to Mass Effect Andromeda and the EA thing have noticed. There's this thing called the Mass Effect Archives. And so what you can do in the game character creator, you can upload your character data or import it through Mass Effect Archives. Is this for sick people like me who want to bring in their character from one platform to another? It might be. Anyway, you do need an internet connection to use the feature, and that's about all we know yet. But I'm sure we'll know a little more when Mass Effect Andromeda officially releases on Tuesday. But in the meantime, you know what? While you wait for Mass Effect Andromeda and all these newfangled games, you could take 5 minutes out of your damn day to appreciate a classic. And that's what Dark Soccer does for a few minutes here on every week of Orange Lounge Radio. She's going to dive into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, this game, wait, not you, you're Halo. This game is a classic, and you should be paying it a little bit of respect. So, Dark Sakura, what is the classic game of the week? Ooh, this is an unexpected pick from you, Dark Sakura.
Yeah, it's a game that I had remembered playing right when it came out on Sega CD. So it's Microcosm, which maybe not the best game, but it certainly was one of the early ones of its type. It is a 3D rail shooter. It was published by Psygnosis in 1993. And one of the reasons I mentioned it is because it was actually developed for the FM Towns, which I'd brought up as a classic console. It had been ported to Sega CD, Amiga CD32, and the 3DO consoles, and MS-DOS. So this one, the only real, I would say, more widespread knowledge that people would have of it would quite likely be from the Sega CD. It had full motion video animation backgrounds. The rendering of such were done by Silicon Graphics. And depending on where you're playing it, it's either first person or third person. So basically, you were playing inside of a body of a company presence is like set way in the future or something. So you basically are having like what is the Fantastic Voyage or whatever it was in a body fighting off different little nano droids that are trying to control this president guy and take over everything. So the demo for this game came out in 1991. It was for the Amiga CD TV, and they had a port for the CDI canceled, planned and then was canceled. There was a prototype out there. So then it was funded by Fujitsu to make it a launch title for the FM Towns Marty. It was then released later on other systems, and it had a soundtrack done by Rick Wakeman and another version done by Tim Wright. And it had to do with licensing. Looking up Rick Wakeman, he was a pretty much a nice prog rock guy, so you can imagine the soundtrack. Microcosm really did get some very, very high ratings for graphics, but not so necessarily great for gameplay. It was really simplistic, to be honest. I mean,
For 1993, this game looks fucking great.
Yeah, for 1993, the game was amazing looking.
Now you look at it and you're like, oh, okay. But, you know, this comes from a very particular era of gaming.
It does.
Especially when we talk about computing like the Amiga and stuff.
And the big thing about it is that, like I said, while it wasn't the greatest game of all time, ooh, forever, it was notable that it was very what's the word I'm thinking of? It was a sign of its time. It really displayed where people imagined games going with the full motion video, with the high-end animation for its time. And there were quite a few other games like that that came out. Like, what's another one? Philosoma. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
In fact, that was almost a classic game, but I brought up Microcosm because I was trying to think of a game
Which means, spoiler alert, in a future week. I'm teasing.
Well, no, but hold on. I'm going to find something real quick about Philosoma because it was... it was originally what I was going to do. So, yeah, Philosoma was done in 1995. It was for PlayStation. And the thing about it is that it was, for a shooter, it switched various directions. Different points of view from it. Really good music, too. But it was more or less a in the same vein as Microcosm. I would like to say that Microcosm was a precursor to this. Of course, the sequel for Philosoma was Phase Paradox, but I'll go into that if I ever do this game again. But it was just really that early to mid 90s kind of game where they wanted it to look a lot more. It wanted it to be more immersive and have so much more going on. And the technology of the time lent itself very well to doing it as full motion. Like, what were the other games of that era? Like Sewer Shark, for example, kind of along the same lines. So,
or like Night Trap you did last week in a different kind of way.
But it wasn't the game overlay on top of full motion.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So I would say, but you know, on its own, there were limited editions of this that came out. The PC one and the Amiga CD32 came with the game, the manual, a soundtrack, and a T-shirt. So that's it. It's Microcosm.
Right, there it is. Your classic game of the week. Microcosm, and we're looking at it in studio here on the Amiga.
Had a pretty good intro.
Which is a system that doesn't get enough love here on OLR. Mm-hmm. But it was on, like, a million systems in that era.
It wasn't, I would say, that many. They were just more niche systems at the time.
Yeah, it was.
The Sega CD was probably the better accessible of them. But there, I mean, again, it was the FM Towns. They had a version set for the Marty.
the Amiga systems weren't that well spread around, and the 3DO. I mean, did you know anyone who had a 3DO?
JCPenney.
When they were new.
In the display. Or no, right? Did they ever sell gaming system? Why did I name them? I associate it with the mall. I think I meant to say Sears. Sears would have one in the display
Montgomery
case.
Ward.
Montgomery Ward.
That's where I got my Killer Instinct.
Had 3DO. I was just having this discussion with Alan today, because you know where we went for the very first time in our lives? I'd never been to before. A Super Target. Because there's only one of them in NorCal, at least that I know of. And it's on the drive home from L.A. Because we took the 99 back. Because I guess there was construction on 5.
99 is the best. Because you pass the Bravo cheese farm.
And you know we stopped there, too. I fucking love Bravo.
I should have had you get me some sage cheese.
Oh, I didn't know you liked that stuff. I would have totally
got you some. I like the garlic and the sage.
But anyway, well, we'll be back to L.A. someday. But anyway, not just that, but there's a Super Target in fucking Merced of all places. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I want to see what makes Super Target super. And I knew it was like the grocery thing. And I'm told, and there's probably folks in chat that are like, what's the big fucking deal? I'm told these are all over the place in the Midwest and stuff. But I had never been to one before. And they have the full fucking grocery there. Mm-hmm. So I went there. So that led to this whole discussion about retail stores that aren't around anymore. We were talking about Montgomery Ward. We were talking about Gemco.
I've never heard of Gemco.
And Best. Are these all California-only things? I guess maybe.
I think I'd seen the Best when it went out of business here because it had the thing that lifted up.
Yeah.
And now it's our Best Buy, which I think is funny. Circuit City.
Yeah, Circuit. Oh, Circuit City did not come up in our discussions. But yes, that is that is so weird to me because I remember a time when Circuit City was still open and we were doing this show because it was the Wii launch.
Yeah.
We went over there when they would launch the Wii over there. Anyway.
I bought headphones when they went out of business.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, Best, they still exist. Holy fuck. No, we were talking about stores that were gone. They're no longer there. Mervyn's was another one we mentioned. And what was the other clothing store that it was gone? Maybe it was Montgomery Ward still. Come on, Noel Gus in chat says, oh, my parents bought my Mac at Montgomery Ward's. And Rama says Computer City. I've never heard of that. That must be a thing. Oh, CompUSA. How about that? I
CompUSA
know that one.
Is still around. They were purchased and are along the lines now of Tiger Direct and Newegg.
They also do like tutoring, computer classes, I think, is still a thing that CompUSA does. But anyway, we're going to take a break. We're gonna reminisce a little more after the break. We're going to get to rapid fire news. We're going to get to your phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this break. And welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight. Our 680th episode for this, March 19th, 2017. That's right. Not only are we going to hit 15 years in a couple months here, we'll also hit episode 700 before the end of the year. A lot of big stuff for OLR going on this year. Thank you guys for joining us for the ride, whether it be for 15 years. Some of you in chat, shout out Dark Tetsuya. Or if it's only been 15 minutes, welcome to your first episode of OLR. Hope you've been having fun. Let's get into some other gaming news. I do want to get to rapid fire news, but I want to talk a little bit about what our announcer Jason brought up at the top of the show. I know he's a big fan of Rocket League, so I'm not surprised that he brought it up there at the top of the show. But Loki, you've been reading what's going on with Rocket League, right?
Yeah, so they're going to be doing an update. It's a new mode coming on March 22nd called Drop Shot, and it's kind of like their take on volleyball. So unlike the current Rocket League game where it's, you know, you're trying to get into a goal or the net or whatever, you would actually be trying to hit floor panels by destroying them by throwing the ball into the air. So it's got a new arena called the Core 707, and it's got a bunch of small hexagons in that arena that you destroy to score points. And it says each panel needs 2 hits to break. So it's going to have a new record stat, which is called damage.
Have you been playing Rocket League Online at all?
I have yet to play this game.
Oh my god, Loki, it's so fun. You gotta try it.
Like, I have it, I just...
Just seriously, take like 5 seconds, fire it up, and just try it. Because a round is quick. It's only gonna take you like 3 minutes. And you don't even have to play real people. Like, I pretty much only play AI. I have done real people. I'll do real people with friends. Like, some of you guys may know Princess Irene. She's been on the show before. Like, I remember playing a few rounds with her before. Like, she would just pull me into these matches that she'd be playing with some of her friends, and we jump in. And it's a lot of fun, Loki. You really should try it. Like, mm-hmm. You don't have to invest a lot of time in it. And it's stupid easy to learn, too. So, but I think all this stuff is cool, even though I don't personally get really involved with the competitiveness. But it is neat to see this little title that I don't think people thought it was going to go very far, because it was like, what? It was a PlayStation Plus title that was, you know, given away in the beginning. And it's just become like a huge thing in gaming, going on to what? Now it's 4th season, right? So
yeah,
going in chat for some comments over at live.vognetwork.com. SSG100 Matt says, I haven't played Rocket League in a couple months. ActDev says, Rocket League is pretty awesome. And Kaijudo and says, so now we have soccer, basketball, hockey, volleyball. Good job, Rocket League. There you go. Dark Tetsuya says, my brother plays a lot of Rocket League. He made it sound like it's Breakout, this new mode. Oh, that's pretty cool. A little bit of retro stuff. All right, let's get into some rapid-fire news and talk about what else has been going on in the gaming industry at a rapid pace. Loki.
All right, so, I mean, I haven't really been anticipating it, but it's coming out right around the corner. Super Mario Runs coming to Android next week. So March 23rd is when it's going to release. Hooray. It'll be...
Will you be picking it up?
I'll try the demo, I guess. But I'm not all that excited for it. It'll be maybe my son. I might get that for, you know, Josh or something, because he likes Mario. So that'll be coming out. They're going to offer the first 3 levels for free, $10 for the full game, kind of, you know, like it is on iOS. So look for that. Like we were talking a little bit earlier about backwards compatibility in Xbox One, they're going to be getting some new games as well. So Street Fighter 4 is the major title that's part of this release. Luxor 2, Poker Smash, and Mad Balls in Babo Evasion. I remember interviewing those guys, or talking to them over
E3. I remember that. Yeah.
So they're going to be, those are going to be added to the backwards compatibility list. So it's... I gotta say, I mean, I'm just surprised that it's got all this stuff on there. I think I have those, at least a few of those.
Street Fighter 4, the original, I certainly have, but I'm not sure I'd want to go back and play that on Xbox One, because to be fair, I have like the super uber version on PlayStation 4 I bought on some sale, and I have it on Steam, so it's kind of like, eh.
But it's available. I don't need the vanilla one. You wanted to.
Oh, just in case. But I know that Poker Smash was like, wasn't that game kind of like in some ways similar to Rocket League, where it was like this really small little release and it kind of has a huge cult following? I thought that was that game that like really kind of blew up on Xbox Live. I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyway, let's talk about South by Southwest. That happened recently. I didn't even realize that happened this past week, but that's apparently been going on. It's a music, games, and film festival that was underway this past week. And they had the Video Games Awards show. This is the 4th year of the South by Southwest Video Games Awards show. And the game of the year, awarded by South by Southwest, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. That was the big winner there. Some of the other awards, I'm not going to read these all, but some of the other big winners for musical score, Doom by Bethesda. Excellence in Multiplayer, Overwatch. Excellence in Convergence, Batman, the Telltale series. Excellence in Gameplay also went to Doom. The Matthew Crump Cultural Innovation Award went to That Dragon Cancer, which, you know, that was a game that came out, I think, much earlier in 2016 that was certainly had a very, very strong story to it that affected a lot of people. And the mobile game of the year was, any guesses? Big mobile game? Almost everybody
Pokemon
played
Go.
It. That's right. Pokemon Go was the mobile game of the year. Again, that was the South by Southwest Awards. I think I might have mentioned this a little bit at the top of the show, but just in case, I want to reiterate it now. The Splatoon 2 Global Test Fire is coming up. It's going to start on March 24th and run through March 26th. But keep in mind, there are only 6 very specific one-hour periods that you can play. As a reminder, it's for 1 hour beginning at these times. On March 24th, noon, and 8 p.m. Pacific. On March 25th, 4 a.m., noon, and 8 Pacific. On March 26th, 4 a.m. Pacific. So those are the 6 time frames you can do it. Now, you can download the app or whatever you want to call it on Switch. You can actually download the Test Fire client right now. And I will say this for the Switch. Loading games is fast. Like, I downloaded that client pretty fast. I don't know if that's because, again, I'm not having the same Wi-Fi issues it seems a lot of other people are having. But yeah, it was pretty easy to get that installed on the Switch. So my advice, before March 24th and the first hour of this, you probably want to get this installed on your thing. And remember, it's free, so Don't be butthurt if it goes up and down during that hour, because that is what it's for, is to test and make sure it works. Meanwhile, let's go to Dark Sakura with some more news.
There is an emulator that will play Pokemon Yellow, and guess what it's on? The Apple Watch. There is a Game Boy emulator that basically is still under testing. It doesn't have many games available to do on it yet, but they are working on getting Pokemon Yellow to run well, and the emulator is called Giovanni. Of course, now it's not anything official, but it looks kind of neat to see it in motion. I mean, and other people have tried to bring Doom over, which I don't know how that would work, but whatever. And then, in other news, Rock Band 4 is going to be getting some crossovers. We will be getting some with Mass Effect and Archer. So basically, Archer is going to be Sterling Archer is going to be a character model for Rock Band 4.
Nice.
And then there's also some Mass Effect Andromeda themed outfits, including a Normandy base and N7 armor.
That sounds ridiculous.
That
but
does
awesome.
Sound ridiculous. Sign me up. That's it.
All right, let's travel around and check out what's coming out in stores at retail this week.
But the important thing to mention about that last story, though, is that they're releasing the song, or Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, to go along with the Sterling Archer.
Ah, Jesus. How is that not already there? That's news, too. How is that not already there? All right. That's cool, though.
Anyways, so this week we've got Mass Effect Andromeda coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Tokiden 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. Troll and I on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
There's a lot of people on the internet that can relate to that.
Yep. And then Dreamfall Chapters, The Longest Journey on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. A 3DS game, Mario Sports Superstars on 3DS. And last but not least, Zero Escape, The Nonary Games on PC, PlayStation 4, and Vita.
All right, let's go to Japan. Hi, Japan. Let me butcher some pronunciations for you of your releases coming up on March 23rd on the PlayStation 4. Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, released in Japan. Also on March 23rd, Eagle Flight and Farming Simulator 17 are released. WRC6 FIA World Rally Championship and Gendai Daisen Ryaku comes out. 2017 specifically, comes out this week. That is one of those airplane-type games, which it looks like it's like half a mix between like one of those strategical games, like an Advance War, mixed with plane fighting type of thing. So, because I think those types of like Ace Combat games tend to do a little better overseas. Not that they don't do well here, but they do really well overseas, I believe. In Japan this week, you can look forward to Tokaiden 2, Hatsuyuki Sakura in regular and limited edition, Sidekicks, and Biohazard Revelations 2 gets a price reduction as it moves into the best series on the Vita. And let me see if they have anything listed for retail on the Switch. No, nothing on retail for the Switch this week, which, you know, is kind of the same thing here. We're just getting our stuff on the online digital stuff. So the 3DS, however, not seeing their Mario Sports Superstars until March 30th. So you're going to have to wait another week for that. And, of course, the matching Amiibo cards. So in the meanwhile, we'll have to move over to the UK.
I'd like to move there.
Yes. For reals. Yes.
On the 23rd, we have Bye Bye Box Boy for 3DS and Mass Effect Andromeda. Yay! On the 24th, Dreamfall Chapters for several systems. Tokiden 2 for PC, PlayStation Vita, and for PlayStation 4. That's it.
All right. Well, we're about to go back to Dark Sakura because every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails. And of course, Dark Sakura always prepares in advance by opening up the email bag earlier before the show even starts to find the emails that she's going to be reading for you tonight.
To find nothing, I think.
There's
some stuff.
I thought I saw one from our favorite emailer.
Okay.
One of our favorites. Sorry.
Hey.
One of our favorites.
Hey, reading.
Sorry.
I just received a Kindle Fire tablet that I was gifted from Valentine's Day. Only real complaints are that the touchscreen isn't as sensitive as it probably should be. The volume is pretty low, plus there's a lot of Android apps not on the App Store. Among the apps I checked out to download was the Twitch app, and I realized, of course, it is on the Fire. What I usually watch on Twitch is the Salty Bet feed, even though I don't have an account to gamble virtual currency. I have tried joining Jackbox games that streamers didn't have locked down to subscribers. Fun, although the 10-second delay made some of the games tough to play. Also, as far as YouTube LPs, or I guess long plays, I've been watching Game Grumps, Ross's wife, Commander Holly, playing Night in the Woods. I stopped watching only because I really want to play that myself, assuming my 2009 MacBook could run it. Upgrade. It's time to upgrade. Mostly, I'm still watching the custom Super Mario World ROMs and indie games played by Rail Cow, I guess. That comes from Robert M. So...
All right, awesome. I don't think I picked up a question in there, so...
It's just an email.
But thank you for the update.
All right. Hello, LR. Just a few thoughts on last week's very busy episode. On the subject of Switch's forthcoming video streaming apps, we learned the importance of first impressions with Street Fighter V. Yes, many features and improvements have been added since the game released 13 months ago, but the folks that looked at version 1.0 and said, nope, did not all come around. Most of them came, saw, and left. Onto the Switch. Already on Amazon.com, multiple people have asked, does it play Netflix? And of course, the answers all say no. Once the public understands that it does not play Netflix, how will they later be convinced that it does? Generally, the word of mouth on device happens when the device comes out. This might happen a second time around the holidays, but that is in no way assured. I'm not sure Nintendo will be able to convince the public at large that it plays Netflix later, even if it actually does. I hope I'm wrong, though. Robbie pointed out that with Switch, it's easy to bring a game to a friend's house. I will point out that if you use an external hard drive on Xbox One, it was already very easy to do that, except you can do it with digital games as well. Simply plug in your external drive with installed games on into a friend's Xbox One, then sign into their console, give a few minutes to index what's on the drive, and you'll be able to play everything on it with no hassle. You can even use your own save file because your cloud save will follow you there. Honestly, I feel that this is currently the overall most user-friendly solution across all platforms. I really don't have anything else to say, so I will challenge you to say this 7 times fast. Sally sell 6 switches. Sally sell 6 switches. Whatever. And now I'm running away. Well, I also have throat problems. And that comes from YYR.
Hi, YYR. I did not know that about the Xbox One. That's pretty cool. But you did have to use the word if, and it's for a good reason. It's not something that's kind of like natively a part of the console. I mean, it is and it isn't. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have this external hard drive, and you have to put your files on there. It's not quite the same thing, although I will give you certainly the props. It is an additional feature that I certainly wasn't aware of before. So there you go. Bobby Blackwolf in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says the Wii didn't play Netflix when it first came out either. Neither did the Xbox or PlayStation 3. To be fair, though, the landscape 10 years ago, we lived in a world before House of Cards and before Orange is the New Black, which those shows really transformed Netflix into something different. Like, it's just the landscape is different now than it was then. I just, you know, I still kind of stand by what I said about the Netflix stuff. I think it's something that will be important. I'm not so sure that I totally agree with what you're saying here, YYR, because Nintendo is kind of different in the fact that they can get Reggie Fils-Aimé booked on any talk show that they want. I mean, what, he was just on CBS This Morning in some clip. They get him on The Tonight Show all the time. And if they want to try to get a different thing out there and get him to show Netflix on these consoles and stuff, they'll do it. So I just feel like they can kind of control the conversation a little better than some other people can. So, I don't know. I sort of think around the holidays, they're really going to push that narrative with whatever happens. You know, I think the Switch is going to look a lot different around the holiday than it does right now. But I will also say, the longer I'm kind of having my Switch and using it, I'm really liking it a lot more just as a console. Like, I'm really liking this whole handheld TV thing a lot more than I originally thought I would. Like, the longer I'm with it, the more I'm really into it, especially as more games are coming out that aren't just Zelda. So, pretty cool. I'm still, you know, I don't think it's perfect, and there's still a lot of things that bug me about it, the $70 Pro Controller being one of them, but Damn, it is a nice controller. Anyway, thanks for the email, nonetheless, YYR. That was it for emails tonight, right?
That was all.
All right. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you wish to send us an email in the future. Here we go. I want to say, before we get back to news, because Bobby's bringing this up as well, and it's worth responding to. I love that 10 years ago, we all bitched about how our game consoles being less about games and more about media devices, and now we're bitching about our game consoles are too much about games and not spending enough time talking about TV and sports. Here's the thing. I'm not approaching this necessarily as a gamer. I always use this analogy all the stinking time with Nintendo. So y'all, if y'all haven't seen the YouTube clip by now, what's stopping you? You need to go look up Tyra Banks yells at contestant when she was on America's Next Top Model going, "We were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?" Blah, 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 and all this stuff. The reason why, and this is me in particular, and I don't know if Bobby directed that comment at me. He might not have, but I still want to just say from my perspective why I do think Nintendo should put Netflix on this thing, even though, yes, I am a gamer first and all this stuff, is that I also realize Nintendo is able to reach an audience of a lot of different type of people because they did it with the Wii, and they reached that soccer mom audience, and they reached a larger audience of people that weren't just gamers. And the way that they can do that is through some of these apps and things that maybe we as gamers don't necessarily like. But it's like this whole fact that you can do Netflix on TV or on the device, pick it up, take it with you, pick up from where you left off, because Netflix will let you download your shows now, you know, depending on what show it is and all this stuff. It's one of those things where it's more a missed opportunity to sell the system further. And that's what it is for me.
Especially, like, I would think that you would want to put, like, a lot of the tablet features that they have out there, like different apps and things, for those people that may not necessarily game all the time or more casual gamers. Like, I would see even, like, something you could even go as far as, like, putting, like, books on there, you know, because it has a tablet. Use it for reading books. I mean, I wouldn't use a tablet for that, but it's something that people could use it for, or streaming media, or a lot of different things. I mean, I think why cut yourself short? I mean, yeah. So what? Someone develops the app for it. Say Barnes & Noble or whatever wants to develop their stupid Nook app for it. Who gives a shit? So what if no one downloads it?
Oh my God. I would be so happy if they did like a tune-in app on that thing, so yeah, people exactly. could listen to Vogue Network. So I mean, like, granted, there's no cellular network, so they couldn't do it on the go unless there's Wi-Fi, but still, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, who cares? If people don't utilize it, no big deal, but at least it's there for the people that do want to utilize it.
So yes, I'm going to ask, as a gamer, I'm going to ask, where are the games? You know, and we're seeing Nintendo answer that a little bit. To be fair to Nintendo, you know, even though that first week it looked a little dicey, the 2 weeks that have followed up, at least online, have been pretty strong, especially compared to Wii U. So I do feel like Nintendo's making improvements there. Awesome. I think this other thing, this Netflix thing, and some of the things that Loki's bringing up there could really transform this holiday into these talking pieces that are going to get more non-gamers or casual gamers invested in the system. And then that's a win-win for all of us, because now third parties are going to want to come back to Nintendo. But as somebody in chat pointed out over at live.vognetwork.com, who said this here? Somebody had said that the system's selling anyway, so it seems to be doing well right now. So the system is doing pretty well right now. So based on the sales numbers earlier. So maybe Nintendo doesn't need my stinking advice, but I do feel like those things are going to be there by year's end. But that's the whole reason we did the time capsule. We'll find out. All right. Let's get back into some other news. We want to get into what Loki was going to talk about here.
Yeah. So the PlayStation blog announced that Drawn to Death is going to be coming to the PlayStation 4 April 4th. And what's kind of cool is it will be free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. So this is, if you're not familiar with it, it is the new game by David Jeff, who did like the Twisted Metal series, and it's kind of a third person, over the top third person shooter that like exists in a notebook. So it looks like sketches done by a high school student or something like that. So it looks cool, and the fact they get to play it for free is another bonus. They haven't really announced yet what additional games are going to be coming out for April's you know, games of the PlayStation Plus stuff, but at least we know one of them.
There you go. I'm excited to check this out. That
looked
pretty cool.
Interesting.
That trailer looked neat, so I'm curious to see. You know, free is a great price. And as we were just talking about at the top of the segment with Rocket League, did very well for itself as a free game originally and now is everywhere. Maybe this game will do very well for itself as well. We'll see. All right. Hey, do you remember, this was probably almost a year ago at this point, maybe longer, that we were talking about this. Primal Rage had a canceled sequel. You guys remember that? Now, obviously, the canceled sequel is old. I remember talking about this, that it was unearthed or something relatively recently. So Atari was going to do a sequel to Primal Rage, which was the dinosaur fighting game. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And that was when like Jurassic Park was first out. So this was the type of shit that people wanted. It was dinosaurs beating each other up, right? And then what, Turok was around that same time too, right? So like,
well, Killer Instinct. I mean, that's kind of almost like a. I don't know if that came out before or after, but wasn't it sort of like a claymation-ish game?
Clay Fighters.
Well, Clay Fighters was that, but the animation that was in this game, wasn't it claymation, or did they do like CG rendered to,
I think
sprites?
It was like CG rendered sprite type of things. So, but anyway, Atari was working on a sequel that was going to be released in 96, but it was shelved around 1995. They didn't actually end up releasing it. However, get this, it is now out there, available to play in an emulator. There's still some buggy stuff in the game. It's not going to be perfect because the game was never actually released.
I think that you can only play one round before you have to restart the whole thing.
Yeah, but you can still check that out. It was, by the way, it was stop motion fighting is what
okay,
they did.
Okay, stop motion. Yeah, it did definitely have that look to it.
So, pretty cool. You can check that out. There's a whole emulator available on a Weebly site. You could probably just Google for Primal Rage 2 and find that if you would like to give it a try.
I'm sure that they'll have the running in... Well, it probably already runs in MAME. I'm curious to see if they can fix some of the bugs in it.
Yeah, same. It's kind of like... God, what was that game? There was some game that was released really recently where the guy, it was like the only copy of it out there, but the guy went in to try to fix some things, and everybody was like, no, you need to put it out in the pure state. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Now the pure game is out there. Primal Rage 2, the pure game is out there. So now try to fix it, Internet.
Or at least now fix it so that it doesn't crash after each level.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of just functionality. I don't see a problem in fixing that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just a few more stories for you guys. We're going to open up the Skype line. But first, we're going to hear from Dark Sakura.
Yeah, do I gotta?
I guess you don't have to.
No,
it's a volunteer show.
But... Seriously. And this one is... It just pisses me off so much because I would have hoped that the Gamergate people would have learned that we don't care what they think and want them to shut up.
I'm just... shocked that term is still out there all this time,
right?
Later,
it's
but
fucking stupid.
Okay.
Dear men, women are not out to oppress you. You've been in charge for the last few million years. You know, shut up.
So what's happening this time?
Well, now there's an online harassment campaign that's been directed at a former EA employee who is blaming her for the animation problem in Mass Effect Andromeda. And so basically, BioWare put out a statement. Actually, Aaron Flynn put out a statement. And I'll just read it. Recently, a former EA employee was misidentified as a lead member of the Mass Effect Andromeda development team. Those reports are false. We respect the opinions of our players and community and welcome feedback on our games. But attacking individuals, regardless of their involvement in the project, is never acceptable.
Good on EA for making a statement like that, to be honest.
That's from Aaron Flynn, the BioWare GM. So it's basically, they just need to shut up, really.
And it turns out that she was a writer, or she was not as involved as people were pegging her out to be, right? Like, she was a part of a team of people, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Yeah, a former, it looks like she had been a former facial animator. But she wasn't with the company and didn't work on Mass Effect Andromeda. Mm. It just basically people...
In general, I'm going to make a broad generalization here, but I'm going to do it with purpose. Mob mentality needs to fucking stop.
It does. And the internet makes it so easy.
It does.
You know, people need to break away from this hive mind of hate.
This is literally the modern version. I don't even have to say a particular group's name or anything like that. This is literally the modern version of she's a witch. Burn the witch.
Yeah, it is.
Think about it. Think about it.
It's when hysteria.
When you read that shit in the history books, don't you go, wow, those people were fucking nuts. Think about it.
It's hysteria for the sake of hysteria. You know, fueled by unfounded fear is really what it is. It's people letting their own fear, their own insecurities, and their own prejudices running wild and sucking other people into their vacuum of stupid.
And Kaijudo in chat says, even if she did work on it, she shouldn't be attacked. Yes, very good point that I should have also made sure to say. So, very good point. Even if she like single-handedly wrote the game from start to finish herself, like, go do something positive with your life, for God's sake. Go do something. Go help a charity. Go volunteer for something you do believe in. Don't attack this person.
Or how about this?
Over a game.
How about this? Stop. Just stop. If you're going to say something hateful, stop. No one cares what you think.
Do y'all send shit to Adam Sandler for the movies? Do y'all do this? Do y'all do this to Rob?
Movies are pretty bad.
Do y'all do this to David Spade?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
I got better.
So she weighs the same as a duck. She's made of wood. And therefore, a witch! No. I just think that... I think we need to stop paying attention to these fuckers. I mean, seriously.
Well, you brought them up, Dark Sakura. But maybe you shouldn't have.
I brought it it's up a fair because point. It has to Come do on. With Mass Effect.
To be fair, is it gamer-gay people, or is it people just flipping out because of shit they didn't like they did with the Jim Sterling article?
It's some people who have been associated with gamer-gay.
I'm going to back up. I don't give a fuck who they are or what they call themselves. They're being a mob, and the angry mob needs to fucking stop. I don't care what the label is. If you're participating in this, stop.
Sometimes it has to be addressed to tell them off. It's a whole group of people. You know how I was going back to people not thinking for themselves or being weak-willed? This is fucking weak-willed bullshit. This is one person says something, and other people are using this person to enable them. Hello, American election system. You know, it's people, it's the one person who will be vocal about the bullshit that assholes think about, and they all rally to the head asshole.
So anyway, if you're gonna accuse somebody of being a witch, you better bring the receipt that she turned you into a newt.
You better have some proof. Let's see some warts.
All right, moving on. A couple more stories for you guys. Loki.
So Telltale's CEO, Kevin Bruner, has stepped down. So apparently he's been with the company since 2015. And... you know, oversaw development of the Minecraft story mode, The Walking Dead, and the Batman Telltale series. Of course, now that he has stepped down, it looks like the former co-founder who was the CEO role before, Dan Connors, is going to be taking the place of him. So, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting what this could mean for the future direction of the company or what have you. But they seem to have cut themselves out a little bit of a niche for themselves with these storytelling games. And, you know, a lot of them do very well. The Walking Dead stuff.
I'm looking for the Guardians of the Galaxy game that's supposed to come out.
I still need to play that Batman one. I really, really wanted to play that. And it's one of those games that just got lost to the something shiny.
Yeah.
Is out to play.
There's a lot of games out there.
Yes, it is. That is very true. All right. And lastly, but not leastly tonight, get this. So we like to bitch about how there's download content that is actually pay to unlock content because it's stored on the disc. In fact, checking back to that story about Street Fighter 4 on Xbox One, wasn't Street Fighter 4 one of those first games that had that? Like some of those characters were actually on the disc?
I thought that was the thing. I don't remember if it was Street Fighter 4. I know that like Marvel versus Capcom 3 had that stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Street Fighter 4 that was. I know Dead Rising was one of them, I thought, or I don't know.
Well, what we thought started with, say the Xbox 360 may have actually been in place a little bit earlier. There was a game called Flosion Brothers. I don't even know how to pronounce this. Flosion Brothers. Do you know this game, Dark Saga? It was a Dreamcast game developed by Visual Concepts. They now do work on 2K Games titles, but Flosion Brothers was released in 2001, and it had Episode 1 in its title. So it was supposed to come out with more episodes later, but then the Dreamcast kind of...
I thought it was Flogen.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's Flogen. So anyway...
Yeah, it wasn't like that great of a game.
So, well, maybe that's why it never got past Episode 1. That and the fact that the Dreamcast ended up folding up.
It had Frank Welker in it.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So anyway, apparently there was going to be download content for the first 12 months of the first episode. Well, get this. The developers behind the game went back into an on-disk security measure they had, and so they've actually released those 12 pieces of DLC on a place called Dreamcast Live. So you can put the files on a Dreamcast VMU and play them in the original game. In other words, these additional 12 steps were on the disk already. They were just like encrypted or something. They were locked away. And now the key is out there all these years later since they never were able to be released. So if you want to check that out, you can check out DreamcastLive.net if you happen to own this game. But again, this is what I have to admit, I never heard of this. But this also came out in that like 4-year period where I really wasn't playing a lot of video games, to be fair, before I kind of got back into gaming when I picked up a Dreamcast and a GameCube and all that stuff way after the fact. So. Anyway, that's going to do it for our news tonight, but we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call, again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Let me check in with some last-minute stories you guys might have. Dark Sakura? Loki? Anything you guys want to talk about? Oh, actually, hold that thought, because we got a call coming in right now. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, everyone, it's Ronmo.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Old.
You're old?
Yes, Rob. I'm old.
Well, I know that.
Yes. But due to some of the stuff you talked about tonight, you made me feel old.
Uh-oh. What did I say, Rama?
Okay. First whole topic about stores that we used to go to as a kid. Okay, because there was a chain of stores around here called Caldor's, and it was like, it was the Kohl's of its time, and I used to shop there all the time, but they're no longer there, and I used to buy my games from there. You probably remember another one called Consumers as well.
We didn't have them out here.
We had Woolworths.
Yeah, Woolworths. Aren't they still around, but it, like not overseas?
In the US.
Yeah, overseas.
In Australia, yes. Yeah. Yes, I them too.
Yeah. No, there's restaurants. And so I was just thinking, Howard Johnson's was a chain of restaurants before it was a hotel, right? And now there's like one left in America somewhere. So
there's still one somewhere around here somewhere. I don't remember, but I think there is.
Yeah. Act Eft in chat says, I miss KB Toys. Yeah, me I remember KB too. Toys.
We got these little Toys R Us Express locations, but they're not the same.
No, they're not the same. Yeah, those kind of replaced a lot of the KBs around here, too. Although Toys R Us, I think, has been doing pretty well. But, you know, a lot of these big retail stores are really struggling in the era of online. And Amazon is really killing a lot of people when it comes to the online stuff. And I really think the next big one that's going to bite the dust is sadly going to be Sears and Kmart. I mean, every year you hear something about how they're cutting back stores and things are changing. I mean, I'm kind of surprised there's any Kmart's left open at this point, to be honest. But
It ain't Kmart, but it's Radio Shack. But then again, we were wrong about that. We were like, are we not surprised? I think everyone had like their watch. We're like, yeah, I called this, so let me collect on this bet here, you know?
Yeah. Well, Radio Shack was trying to carve a niche. Is the whole cell phone thing, which seemed to be the logical direction for them, but I guess it wasn't enough.
Pretty much, but here's the reason why I called. Now, sure. Top of the show, you were talking about game reviews and stuff, and I've always said that I'm the average gamer. I like what I like. You like what you like. I pick my games based off what you like, and you like. Now, I got friends who have pretty much had, on my Facebook, have ripped Breath of the Wild apart as pretty much a shit game, anywhere from storyline to graphics. Now, from part of the storyline I picked up, I find it interesting. I'm not too big on the graphics, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. But I will say, because of everybody talking about it, I decided to play Ocarina of Time because I picked it up for 3DS.
Right.
And I'm still in the boat of I do not like the 3D Zelda games. I'm playing them just to say that I have played them.
Well, in my opinion, Rama, here's the problem.
Yeah.
I am not a big fan of the 3D Zelda games either, but I think Breath of the Wild and Ocarina of Time can't be compared. I really don't think those two games are hardly the same thing because I feel like Ocarina of Time came from a different era of development that does share a lot with, yes, Twilight Princess, even Skyward Sword, but I really feel like Breath of the Wild comes from a different, like we're entering this newer era of development within Nintendo where you can see the influence of things like, as we checked at the top of the soul, top of the show, things like Dark Souls was what I was getting to, and Skyrim and things like that. So I think for that reason, there's more to this new era of 3D Zeldas than just the fact that it's 3D. So
yeah, I mean, I get it. You know, you got the new 3D game. It's pulling elements from other games to make it work, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I was reading a review about, you know, how you pick up weapons in the game after two or three hits, they're destroyed, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I could deal with the game like that, whether it's Zelda or not. You know,
and it's the most controversial part of the game's design. I'll leave it at that for now. But I have to say this. I for someone to call this new Zelda a shit game, that's a little bit sensationalistic to me. Now, hey, everybody's welcome to their opinion, and if they truly believe in their heart of hearts that it's a shit game, then you know, so be it. Then them and I have completely different tastes in gaming. But it is going to make me go in the future when that person says something about a different video game. I'm going to be like, isn't this the same person that called Zelda a shit game?
I have done that. I've had friends say, this game is shit, but they praise this. I'm just like, well, you know, how can you say this is, you know, we get our friendly banter back and forth, you know.
Like I said, everybody is welcome to their opinion, but like to call it a shit game, I mean, a 7 out of 10 even, at least I kind of go, okay, sure, different strokes for different folks. The durability thing is kind of frustrating. You know, I could see where somebody probably ended up giving it a 7 out of 10. That's not what I would have given it, but okay. But a shit game, it's a stretch. Again, they're welcome to that opinion, but I probably won't be using that opinion on their other gaming habits to make my decisions, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
So, all right. Well, Rama, anything else you want to get out before I let you go?
I want to agree with something that Loki has said about how Nintendo makes money left and right. Let me tell you. You can still get Ocarina of Time for $40 for 3DS, and you can also get the Nintendo Selects version for $20. I just think that's one of the most amazing scams Nintendo has ever come up with.
And can't you get the virtual console version for $10 on Wii?
I don't have a Wii.
Well, now you have an emulator. You can check.
Maybe, but I'm just saying. I'm staring at it. I'm like, I'm going to pick up the Selects version. I go pick it up. I see right next to it the original version for $40. And I'm just like, nah, Nintendo, you're not getting my full four. No, that ain't happening. Not today.
Not this time. Not today, Satan. Not today.
Exactly, my dude. Exactly.
All right. My friend, I'm going to let you go to try to squeeze in a couple more calls, but thanks for calling.
Well, triumphant, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Let's see. Tiger Claw chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, if someone called Sky's favorite game a shit game, the claws will come out. Hey, what did the guy before us say about Mass Effect, huh? I know he doesn't call it that. Different, and as I said, different people are into different types of things, and not everybody's going to be into Mass Effect, and that's okay. Shit, I didn't get Mass Effect at first. I had to approach it kind of with a different perspective, and even my own evolutions as a gamer from 2007 when that series first came out to, what was it, probably 2012 or, God, the years just all fucking blur together at some point. 2012 when I finally did approach the series and give it another go. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Agdeft in chat says, Black Wolf doesn't call it shit. He calls it crap. Remember, it's a family show. Yes. I'm just teasing. I'm teasing him. But, you know, there's probably games that he's into that I'm not as into, and that's okay. If everybody had the exact same opinion all the time, the world would probably be a little bit more boring. Any last-minute stories we want to get to? Loki? No?
No.
Wow. All right. I guess it was a little bit slower of a news week. Now that the new console launched, E3 is still a couple months away. Are there still tickets available for E3? They were like still available as of a week or two ago, and that really surprised me. But I guess it's just so expensive and so forth that people are not going to it because it's in the middle of the week or what have you. Or maybe, who knows? Let's see. In chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'm going to tweet on Tuesday about how much I don't care about Mass Effect because people need to know. Actually, you know what's interesting about that, Bobby, is that I probably won't see that tweet because I won't be
playing Mass Effect.
While I'm at work, I won't be playing Mass Effect, but then when I get home, I'm going to go straight to Mass Effect. Clearly, I'm very tired, and I should just take this lack of calls and this dinner being placed in front of me as a sign that maybe we should wrap up the show. Let's see. Couple other comments here in chat I'll mention here. Bobby is also saying E3 is turning away industry people, too. Yeah, a lot of podcasters and smaller journalistic sites that I know of not getting in the way they were before because now ESA expects them to pay a couple $100 to do it. So it will be interesting to see what that changed coverage is going to look like. So SSU100 Matt wants to know, what's for dinner? Chipotle. Did you bring enough for the class? No. All right. Well, I guess I'll take this lack of phone calls as a sign. We're going to wrap it up. But you can always email us if you were too shy to call tonight. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email. That's going to do it, though, for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show. And if you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please don't forget to tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if those voices aren't out there, we can't put them out there. So come have them join us. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or what have you goes an awful long way as well, so we really appreciate that. We shall go around now and get everybody's final thought for the night. Dark Soccer, your final thought.
I have been chatting with someone who I don't know who they are, and I don't even know adding them to my friends list, so I'm totally removing them. And also, resist.
Okay. All right. My final thought tonight is steak. And Loki, last but not least, your final thought.
I have to go back to my regular job this week.
Oh, that breakout job, is it still going? I would have thought that would have been a really long-term thing. Oh, wow. Time flies.
Yeah, time does fly.
All right. Well, enjoy what's left of it. Until the next time, we'll see you in 7 days. And certainly next week, we're going to hear what Dark Soccer and I have to say about Mass Effect Andromeda, as well as you guys out there. And whatever else might be happening in gaming. I know Loki doesn't really care about Mass Effect the same way we do.
Nope, do not care.
Well, then you play something else and let us play Rocket League, for fuck's sake. Spend 5 minutes with that game and tell us what you thought about it.
Everyone wants me to play Overwatch on PC, but I don't think this laptop runs Overwatch.
There you go. Overwatch would be a good one.
It doesn't run.
I think Arisa's hitting the feeds this week.
This won't run Overwatch.
That sucks.
But I may have to get a new computer. So
all right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. We'll see you in 7 days. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.